See if there was another way to end the demonstration.
This movement is moving towards escalation, that it is no longer peaceful in my judgment, and there are elements of that movement that are willing to engage in violence. So I'm not going to let that stand.
One of the protesters in Atlanta says it hurts to see this happen to people who want change in America. President Obama talked about a number of serious issues in between laughs on NBC's Tonight Show with Jay Leno. The president criticized the harsh political climate in Washington.
I think the thing that folks in across the country are most fed up with, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, is putting party ahead of country or putting the next election ahead of the next generation.
The president will go to Denver today to talk about student loans. Rick Perry's tax plan would give Americans a choice between their current income tax rate or a 20% flat tax. CNN political analyst David Gergen says the plan could help Perry's candidacy for president.
The conservative base of the Republican Party will like this plan. Many conservatives have always wanted the flat tax. This is a bold plan. I believe it's a radical plan, and they're going to rally to him. I think it will help to re-energize his campaign.
Rescuers in eastern Turkey continue finding people alive in the rubble from Sunday's earthquake. A teacher was pulled from a collapsed building today. The number of people killed in the quake is now over 460. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Norman, why is there a bed in my office?
Well, Mr. Frenwell, to catch up on all the work, I figured we should start sleeping here.
Just call Bob from Account Temps.
Okay, but he'll need his own mattress.
We aren't ready to hire full-time, but the staff can't keep working these crazy hours. Why, Bob can handle credit and collections, accounts receivable, whatever we need.
Now I'm confused. Will Bob need a mattress or not?
Not.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers, a Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
When you want an easier way to deal with the hassles of fraud this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you're covered with zero liability protection, which means you won't be held responsible for any unauthorized purchases or ATM transactions if promptly reported. We'll also protect your money by monitoring your account for unusual activity. And you'll be happy to know this built-in protection won't cost you a thing. Call, click, or stop by today to learn more about our zero liability protection. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
If you have been thinking about a new Toyota or Honda, now may be the time. Both Japanese car makers are trying to regain U.S. market share with some of the biggest sales incentives in their respective histories. According to USA Today, the incentives cover everything from 0% financing to cash rebates to cheaper leases. It's all about competition, Jesse Toprak at TrueCar.com says Toyota and Honda buyers have discovered other car makers aren't all that bad. There are signs of hope that Wall Street may recover some of the ground lost in yesterday's market downdraft as traders wait for news out of Europe ahead of a Eurozone debt summit later today. So far, it looks like governments and banks remain at loggerheads over how much pain to inflict on holders of government bonds issued by Greece, the country at the heart of the continent's financial mess. S&P stock futures, though, are looking up, higher by 8 points. NASDAQ ahead 14, Dow futures gaining 64. Oil prices rising almost a half buck, $93.63 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk at MarketWatch.com.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and 5-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
Thanks again for the generous donation.
Oh, don't mention it. When I heard from Katie, who read Kevin's blog that sent everyone to a fan page because of a tweet Bobby shared about the newsletter you sent him in an email, well, I just had to help out.
Start your own word-of-mouth campaign by combining Constant Contact email marketing with social media and spread your message to potential donors like never before. Get started today at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month and now come with a money-back guarantee.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is a hump day Wednesday, and thanks for punching in on this early morning First Shift program. I do appreciate you being with us each and every morning, and the show continues to grow, and I am grateful for that, and I appreciate the interaction with all of you. We do have a lot to get to today. We're going to spend a little time with Bobby Watson. She's spearheading the effort to recall Senator Paul Scott in the Genesee County area, Flint. You'll recall he is the only lawmaker of all of the recalls that were filed that was able to find its way to the November 8th ballot. The problem is, and there has been a significant problem with the courts, all the way from the local court all the way on up to the Supreme Court. And so we're going to clarify what's going on. We're going to get you all the information, and then we're going to ask your help. If you can spare a little time, maybe a couple dollars, but the Paul Scott recall does need First Shift to come to the rescue. And I know you folks are going to respond, of course, in kind. We will be checking in with Occupy Detroit and all that goes with it. I've got, again, another list of stuff they need. And we'll talk with Al Williams, who is downtown Detroit at Grand Circus Park, as we continue to focus on Occupy Detroit. And then Stephen Henderson of the Detroit Free Press will be with us a little bit later on. We're going to kind of talk today. The governor's got, and we'll be getting into this in just a little bit, but the governor is going to throw out some mass transit programs today. Some of it would involve statewide voter approval, but I'll get you to those details in just a short while. So stay with us. We've got a lot to get to.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Today's first word is clarity. Clarity is really, really multiple fold. When you stop and think about purpose, whether we're talking about the Occupy movement, the purpose of doing the show, your purpose as a parent, a spouse, a co-worker, whatever, an employee, an employer, clarity is critical. Clarity is what helps us set reasonable goals. Clarity is what gets us or certainly illuminates the path from point A to point B and beyond. Clarity is critical to understanding why it is you do what you do. And I think that there should be some sense of purpose in your life. Clarity helps define what that purpose is. Clarity, ladies and gentlemen, can often be the difference between failure and success. And clarity, more times than not, is the game changer that we all need. You'd be amazed how often you do not have clarity. And clarity is today's first word. Okay, good morning. Good morning, Jeffrey Radford, to you. An incredibly busy day in my world yesterday. I think that I'm a little hungover from it, and not in that way. I just, I did not stop. I had to force myself to stop working last night.
That doesn't happen most of the time?
Not like yesterday. It's just, and I've got a jam-packed day today. I mean, I'm wall-to-wall today, which is not a bad thing. It's just, wow, it's pretty intense. It's pretty intense. You know,
yeah, me too. I got a day of probably making spaghetti.
Okay, well, I actually have work to do, though.
Right.
That's not, I wouldn't throw that in the work category. Although I made spaghetti yesterday.
Oh, there you go.
But I cheated. I used the jar and just doctored the jar.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, I didn't have time. I didn't have time.
I feel like I've got to do it now while the basil plant's still alive.
Buy basil at the stores.
Yeah, but I want to take advantage of the stuff I grew myself.
Understand that, but you don't have to stop doing this just because the seasons change and the plant. Although the plant should still produce as long as you've got it indoors now, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if it's not getting enough light or the way my apartment faces is designed, I think, not to have a sun shining in it.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on your age and what you do at night.
But for basil plants, not the best.
Well, right. And I'm sure when they were designing the apartment buildings, they didn't say, now, if somebody wanted to grow basil, what would be the best, there's no feng shui.
They should have announced that, though, like put it on there. Like, don't choose this apartment if you plan on growing basil.
And all of a sudden, in the winter, that could be a sales tool. You know, when you go to look for your next apartment, say, okay, I need to know that I've got a window that I could grow herbs in.
Right.
You grew more than just basil.
Being a guy who looks younger, and I'm saying I really grow a lot of herbs. I'm not sure exactly what people might think about what kind of herbs I'm growing.
You'd be surprised how many people grow herbs.
I would be, I guess.
No, a lot of people grow herbs. A lot of people do. You could actually buy an herb garden.
But do you think a lot of, like, 25 to 35 year olds grow herbs?
I can't answer.
Or what kind of, I mean, when we say herbs.
I know where you're going. I was trying to steer it away from that.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. I just, a lot of people grow herbs. And they do grow year round. You should, the next time you're in, Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that in the gardening section, I'll bet you they have an herb garden in there that is year round. And it's kind of cool. Next year for sure. I meant to do it this year. Have you seen those tomato plants that grow upside down?
Yes.
I want to try that.
So do I. I got one, but it didn't grow. It grows. It's supposed to grow out of the pot and then down.
Right.
But not upside down. But yeah, the upside down one.
Well, it's upside down because you don't plant it in the ground. You plant it in a planter. So
yeah, but the upside down ones, they do grow. They grow out the bottom of this thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, those are kind of crazy.
So I just want to try it. I mean, they look interesting. And there's nothing like, of course, a freshly grown tomato. Why the hell are we talking about this? Anyway, because you were going to make spaghetti. But that is not work, and I'm sorry. I'm just not going to let you get away with that. Not this time. This will be, what, the fourth week in a row?
Yeah, I think so. No, actually, I skipped last week. So it's 3 out of 4.
All right, well... besides that, maybe I'll find something more for you to do so you don't just have to make spaghetti today. You'll have other things to do besides that.
I just threw it out there to be funny. I've got plenty to do.
All right. I want to make sure, there's that old saying, the idle hands are the devil's playground. We don't want to invite the devil into your life, Jeffrey.
That's true.
Now, if you're the Detroit Red Wings, you invited the devil into your life. How do you lose to the worst team in hockey when the record was 0-7-1 and you get your butts kicked 4-1 on a night where you really should have just had to show up to win?
You know what? They're due. I mean, there's no hockey team that's going to go 0-82. So, and it sounds like
they lost Saturday night 7-1.
Yeah, they're going to lose. 7-1 was against the best team in the league, though.
It doesn't matter. You got to win against the best.
So you've lost against the best team in the league and the worst team in the league.
So does that kind of equal out somewhere? I'm not buying this philosophy.
No, yeah. They're a little distracted. I mean, obviously Jimmy Howard welcoming his kid into the world. That's the reason why he's not playing. Ty Conklin was playing and Joey Mack on the bench, but I think Nashville's decent. Like, their record is bad to start the year, but Rick Nash is a really good player. They got a lot of good players on that team.
Still, yeah, shouldn't have lost 4-1 to the worst team in hockey.
Especially not on a night where Tony's actually paying attention.
I pay attention every night.
You watch hockey every night?
No, but I pay attention.
Oh, okay. Well, did you watch it last night?
No, but I saw the score.
Oh, okay. I thought you were watching the game and you were upset.
No, the very first thing I do when I turn my computer on in the morning is go to the sports section of Freep Online.
That's, yeah, exactly. Who doesn't? I thought that's how everyone starts their day.
No, not really. I could give you a long list of people that never turn to the sports section. I can assure you that. But it's okay. I just have to get my sports fix. This time of year, it's kind of hard for me because, you know, well, baseball, of course, is over and will soon be over for everybody. But we'll be reading about all the awards soon enough. Certainly Justin Verlander is going to end up winning the Cy Young. I can't imagine that's not going to happen. See who wins the MVP. So we've got that coming up. But, you know, I'm not a big basketball fan except for during the playoffs. So I'm just being honest about that. So that's not like that would fill the void for me. The hockey is not something that's played in Detroit. It's not played every night. So it's not something that, you know, is going to keep me occupied either. This is a tough time of year for me. Sports-wise.
Because you got to wait in between Sundays and Saturdays, right?
Right, yeah, it's just, you know.
That's the thing I think is really, it's kind of frustrating for people because I believe a lot of people are, you know, baseball fans. Maybe it's just they're not as intense as some other people. So baseball is every day. And then all of a sudden football season hits and it's like, you know, you got 5 days to froth at the mouth waiting for the weekend to come so you can finally watch some football.
Yeah, well, you know, I just I enjoy in the morning reading something lighter to start my day. I don't like to jump right into the news, and it just gets a little discouraging this time of year when there's not a lot going on. And then the worst part is you wake up, okay, I can read about the Wings. They played last night, but when they lose, you're not as motivated to read about it, so you don't. Oh, well, this too shall pass. I'll get over this. This is not a big deal. All right. Well, listen, we got a lot to get to this morning, including a situation out in Walled Lake. And I'm not as concerned about the particulars of what's happened at Walled Lake Western High School. There's a perceived hazing, and we don't have all the details. Well, let's listen to the audio. But I am the number one anti-hazing person in the country. In the country, I assure you, I am. I do not believe. You build people up by tearing them down. Never have, never will, and you cannot convince me otherwise. And I have a foundationally very good reason for believing that. And I will share that with you very, very soon. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update looks pretty good right now along M10. The traffic heading both north and southbound between the Southfield Freeway and the Davison. We've got a few pockets of heavier traffic already, but not yet the big delays that'll be coming in the next hour or so for those heading in toward downtown or maybe out toward the 696 interchange.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There's a chance of scattered showers throughout the day. Our high near 55. Tonight look for rain. A low near 39. Tomorrow again possibly rain and a high near 48. Right now overcast 55 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Exclusively at the Home Depot, save time and money with Behr Premium Plus Ultra Paint. It's an affordable paint and primer in one, and rated number one by a leading consumer study. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote.
We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
It's the Toys R Us 2-Day Monster Sale with Doorbusters Friday 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. and Saturday 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Get 50% off all Halloween candy, costumes, and more. Plus 40% off top picks from Crayola, Star Wars, and Fisher-Price. Join us for Jeffrey's Halloween Parade. The fun starts Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. with free giveaways and more. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Exclusions apply. Store hours may vary. See store for details.
Recently on First Shift,
David Hecker, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan,
about the American Jobs Act. The Republicans will stand up and vote no, but what I'd love them to stand up and say is I vote no because I think there should be 54 kids in a kindergarten class. I vote no because I don't care that the response time of police officers and firefighters have skyrocketed because of layoffs, because that is the only reason someone would have to vote no is that they just don't care.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310. WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. Before we get into this hazing story, and we're going to take a look at, we're going to travel to Ohio, at least virtually, not literally, talk about SB5 and its chances of being repealed at the ballot box come next month. There was a story. If you go to myfoxdetroit.com, Jeff briefly showed it to me this morning. It's Hot Chicks of Occupy Wall Street. And there's this video, this flowery video that was made of, I guess, attractive women just kind of flitting around and talking and being interviewed. But there's this controversy that it's objectifying women and it's improperly placing a focus where it doesn't need to be, and I only watched, I don't know, maybe cumulatively 60 seconds of it.
Not, I don't think you watched even, I mean, the video's only 4 minutes long.
All right, it had absolutely nothing to do with hot chicks.
Well, it focused on five stories of five women who are pretty attractive, I would say.
Yeah, but it was just, I mean, the only reason that it would be offensive is the title. There was nothing offensive about the video.
Right. Oh, no, exactly. The video.
It highlights five empowered women is what it does. It's actually complimentary to the women.
And that's the thing. If you read the Fox 2 thing, the very last paragraph is the reason why they're upset. And it's based solely on the name. If they watch the video, they understand, you know, and that's the thing. The name of it will get people to watch the video. But then when you watch the video, you come away with a completely different feeling and thought about these women that occupy Wall Street and the filmmakers who made the video.
Yeah. So if people want to go there and watch it, feel free to do it. The reason I bring it up, Jeff, is I'm honored, by the way, and yesterday I received an invitation to be the keynote speaker at a fundraiser for Michigan Now on November 10th, which is an honor. I mean, it's truly an honor. I have a lot of respect for the National Organization of Women, or for women. I honor the work that they do. I've always had a great working relationship with women. I believe we need to shatter the glass ceiling. You know, I've done a lot of work on the various shows I've done throughout my career to help empower women. I'm all for pay equity, so on and so forth. And so it's not that I'm either overly sensitive or insensitive to issues that affect women, but I just... When you label something and you are criticizing something based on the label and not on the content, I think you kind of do yourself a disservice. And this goes back to our first word yesterday, Jeff, which was sensitivity. And I just think people are overly sensitive because if you, and again, I'll go watch the piece in its entirety later on today as I have time. But based on what I saw, there was absolutely nothing sexist about that video. I mean, zero.
And what they were saying is, based on the titles, it's Hot Chicks of Occupy Wall Street, is that immediately you think hot chicks, so they're nice to look at, but not, you know, you don't give them any credit to what they're actually saying. And I think it's being unfair to the video by saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe the people that labeled it shouldn't have labeled it that way. I don't know. I don't know what the, and again, I didn't read the stuff that that came with it, so I don't know why the video was even produced.
If the name wasn't Hot Chicks of Occupy Wall Street, though, I don't think they get 5,000 views in one day or whatever.
No, if they would have labeled it Empowered Women of Occupy Wall Street, they probably would have had 14 views.
Or five random stories from Occupy Wall Street. People would have been like, yeah, okay.
Right, or women supporting Occupy Wall Street. If they would have labeled it differently, which it just goes to tell you, Jeff, the power of words. Words are very, very powerful. And so it just shows you, it really does showcase the power of words, because the way you use them matters. And you got to wonder how many people went there and went, well, that's disappointing. There's nothing, you know, this isn't about hot women, you know.
I didn't even look at it that way. I went to it. I don't even know. I don't think I was disappointed. I just wanted to see what the video was.
Right, no. And I think that there are a lot of people that would go look at it just based on the label. I mean, listen, there are, of course, a fair share of men that absolutely are all about hot chicks, and I love beautiful women. Don't get me wrong.
I will tell you this: I didn't go to the Fox 2, the story, but they actually have a link in the story so you can see the video. But I saw the headline and I said, okay, I'll go search for it. And when you search for hot chicks of Occupy Wall Street, there's other options out there if you were disappointed by what you found. If you're looking for something completely different, because you can't just search hot chicks and get, you know, what you're looking for.
So you can find something a little more R-rated is what you're telling me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, again, we just need to be careful with the sensitivity issue. I mean, just the beginning of the one I saw, this woman was actually, she's Egyptian. She talked about how empowering it was to be involved in this movement here in America, how proud she was to be involved. You know, it looked like a great story. And it was, by the way, this thing is well produced. It's not some schlocky handheld camera. It's well produced. Beautiful soundtrack in the background. It's very, actually, very complimentary, I think. And again, I'm all for supporting women. Absolutely. If they're going to objectify them, I'm going to have an issue with that. But that's not what this was about. So again, you know, nothing else. It just underscores the power of words, how important words are, and to get us to do what we want to do. That's why, you know, people that are wordsmiths, you know, I'm a freelance writer on top of all the other things I do. I don't take on clients as much these days as I once did, for obvious reasons. I've got my priorities elsewhere. But I tell you, Jeff, I fashion myself as a pretty effective communicator. When it comes to the written word, and you know, I get paid very handsomely to write because I think I understand the power of words. They're critical. It's an interesting story. If you go to myfoxdetroit.com, you'll find the story "Hot Chicks of Occupy Wall Street Controversy." And check it out for yourself. I mean, it's that simple.
It could have been way worse. I mean, the title does make you think, okay, there's going to be, it could have been way worse. These are actually, you could have put the title Beautiful Women of Occupy Wall Street, because their stories, I mean, they are a little, the first girl's a little flaky, but for the most part, they're there for a good cause, and they're telling you why they're there, and it really lines in line with a lot of what people are saying about Occupy Wall Street, the good things they're saying about Occupy Wall
Right.
Street.
Right. You know, we had a story yesterday that I chose not to talk about, and I'll briefly mention it. There's a mother of four who's left her family to go join Occupy Wall Street in New York, and she's basically ignoring her family. Her family's not happy about it. Her husband happens to be a bankster. And so he's like, okay, hello, dear. You know, this is how we make our living, and you're out protesting what I do. Her mother's unhappy with her. She's basically abandoned her four children. Well, you know, I don't support that in any way, shape, or form. I just don't. There's no excuse for that. Your first priority, once you become a parent, has to be to being a parent. Now, under being a parent, you know, means making sacrifices or making sure you make a living and providing for your family. But becoming an activist, and I understand she where she was coming from was, well, I'm trying to build a better future for my kids. I appreciate that, but somebody's got to be home to bathe them and clothe them and, you know, get them off to school. And I'm not saying that that's the woman's job, but if that was her job, you don't just walk away from that. That's negligence. Ugh. All right, we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about John Kasich in Ohio, then we'll get to that Walled Lake Western story on a potential hazing incident. Stay with us. This is First Shift. Appreciate you punching in. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, we are looking pretty good right now. 275 drivers heading into the interchange with 96 and M14. Just starting to pick up, especially the northbound side heading into that. But then as you head up towards 696, also just starting to see the busier traffic. Drivers on the Reuther as you head east toward Orchard Lake or M10, Telegraph maybe out toward I-75. We're still looking pretty good that whole route.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There's a chance of scattered showers throughout the day. Our high near 55. Tonight, look for rain. A low near 39. Tomorrow, again, possibly rain. And a high near 48. Right now, overcast 55 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
1 year from now, Americans will be caught in an unprecedented blizzard of campaign ads. Most of this ad blizzard will not come from the candidates, but from ads secretly funded by huge corporations. This is because a five-man cabal on the Supreme Court issued an edict that perverts nature itself. In a case titled Citizens United, the five decreed that, shazam, lifeless corporate elites are henceforth persons with more electioneering rights than us real-life persons. In a black-robe coup against our democracy, the Supremes rule that a corporation's money is speech and that CEOs may dump unlimited sums of it into their own ad campaigns to elect or defeat any candidates they choose. Of course, it's a grotesque, Kafkaesque lie to say that Walmart, Goldman Sachs, ExxonMobil, and the rest are people with political rights equal to, much less superior to, human beings. As a friend of mine puts it, a corporation is not a person until Texas executes one. The good news is that real citizens of our country are united against Citizens United. In a Hart Research poll, 87% of Democrats, 82% of Independents, and even 68% of Republicans favor passing a constitutional amendment to overrule the court's bizarre decision and make clear that only people are people. Sadly, though not surprisingly, our national elected officials, including Republicans, Democrats, and Tea Partiers, are too hooked on corporate money to stand up for us, for America's democracy. So do we just have to surrender to the corporados? Of course not. We're Americans. This is Jim Hightower saying, rebel! A new We the People campaign is rallying grassroots folks to sign a Declaration of Independence from Corporate Power. To sign and join the action, go to wethepeoplecampaign.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Well, so joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. All right, we got a lot. We got a lot to get to in this next half hour. So we're going to hit the ground running. John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, for those of you who are not aware, instituted a Snyder-like moratorium on unions, basically creating a package of legislation made its best effort to eliminate collective bargaining rights in the state and to force upon state workers, not unlike what Governor Snyder has done, impose upon them strict regulations and guidelines with regard to health care costs and retirement benefits. It ended up needing a protest from the great people of the state of Ohio to go out and collect signatures to repeal this legislation. It ended up being called SB 5, Senate Bill 5. So it is now going to be on the ballot on November 8th. And there is a poll that we'll get to in just a moment that will tell us how SB 5 is faring in the state of Ohio. But let's listen to a little from John Kasich, the Republican governor from Ohio right now.
Governor, the Quinnipiac poll has come out. It's got SB 5 down a lot farther than it was. Your reaction?
You know, we're going to keep working. We think this is the right thing to create an environment for cities to be able to be successful. We're giving them the tools. We're making the case. We're going to make it all the way up to Election Day, and we'll see how it all comes out.
It's kind of the way the public's going on it, though. I mean,
Look, we do our job, and we have an election. You know, it's the way it works, and we'll see.
If issue 2 fails, do you have a backup plan?
I never think ahead.
Tools for local government?
Well, look, I mean, what I think everybody knows, and you know, that local governments are struggling now to create an environment of job creation. And, you know, there's a rising concern about, you know, voting for more taxes at the local level. We got to control your costs. So that's what we've given them the tools to do. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
You don't typically comment on polls, but is this one disheartening?
Hey, you know, do I seem disheartened? I mean, I'm doing my job. And, you know, you do your job, you put your best stuff forward, and you see it, you live by the outcome.
Governor, the message has been out there for a while, and the poll is showing an increasing in opposition with pretty much almost every Democratic group opposed. I mean, how do you persuade minds or change those numbers at this time?
Well, you just work as hard as you can. Try to explain it. You know, you don't quit. I mean, if I'm in a golf game and I'm down 6 holes with 7 to play, I try to play harder.
Do you think there are things people don't know about Senate Bill 5 yet that you want to share with them?
Well, I mean, look, there's just a lot of great misinformation out there, and you know, some of it is a matter of emotion versus kind of facts, and we'll see. We'll see what happens here. I go out and do my job. I tell people what's involved with it, and I explain it to them, and either they'll get it or they don't. You know, I mean, my kids don't get everything I tell them. That's just the way it goes. That's kind of life.
All right, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, the Republican governor of Ohio. The Quinnipiac poll, by the way, shows that Senate Bill 5, if it were to be voted on today, would be defeated 57-32%, which is a massive margin. And if you are in favor of defeating Senate Bill 5, I think that you have a great deal to be optimistic about. Now, of course, all kinds of things can happen. And I'm not going to break down this poll, men versus women, blacks versus white. I'm not going to get into all that. It's not a Michigan bill. But I think it shows you what happens when good-hearted, well-meaning people in a democracy come together and show support for something they basically know is wrong. And what makes this wrong, what makes this very wrong, is that it takes away a union's right to collectively bargain. And this is not quite right to work, and at some levels maybe even worse than right to work. But that this idea, if you listen to what the governor had to say, this idea that, you know, it's saving money, it's for cities, and it's what people want, and it's the right thing to do, without any facts to back that up, I mean, just to say it doesn't really give you anything. So I'm happy to inform you, and we actually do get into, we bleed into the Toledo area, so we do have some Ohio listeners, and we did actually have somebody call the show a few weeks back to talk about SB 5, And so we thought we would update you on that. And it looks to me, again, at this point, if I was a betting man, I'd be betting that SB 5 will go down in flames. And
well,
that's a good
thing.
We'll
see what happens here. I go out and do my job. I tell people.
Okay.
That was the answer to everything.
We'll see. He's been, unfortunately, you know, I've seen John Kasich, Jeff, on the Morning Joe, because that's what I have on in the studio starting at 7 o'clock. And I've seen him on that show, and, of course, I'm on the air at the time, so I can't really pay attention to what he's saying. You know, he's a younger guy. He's not very well spoken as far as I'm concerned. Going back to the power of words, there's nothing powerful. He gave us nothing powerful in that.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So anyway, and my kids don't listen to me either. Well, you know.
Actually, he did give us something powerful. Here's what he had to say.
I never think ahead.
I can't believe you said that. I never think ahead. Isn't that part of the job?
Well, I would think as a politician, if you want to be considered a visionary, you have to think ahead.
You have to be proactive, not reactive, right?
Well, you know, you have to be able to do both, actually. And obviously, he doesn't do both because he just doesn't think ahead.
Concentrates on the reactive.
Well, you know, it's about what's happening right now. Why think about tomorrow?
Well, they did ask him about the wild animals getting loose in Ohio. And I think that's reactive. I mean, they have this law where you're allowed to have exotic animals, and he kind of broke it down. Well, can they have a peacock? Can they have a bear? We got to look at it. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, fair enough. Governor, this one's going to crash and burn, and I couldn't be happier for it. By the way, got an extraordinary response to the Right to Work interview we did yesterday. Quite a few of the labor unions shared the podcast on their Facebook pages, and so I was very happy about that. Somebody on our Facebook page said, "Here, let me find it because I want to read it."
I was hoping you would bring this up.
I want to read it verbatim. This is let me find it. Okay, the guy's name is Brian. Says, "I believe that Gordon Laffer is how he spelled it. Of course, it was Lafer. Lived up to his name today. Too bad." He does not realize that his propaganda is readily debunked. So I responded to that, have at it.
And did he?
No, of course not. You know, it's that guy Chris that also posts all the anti-Occupy stuff, and I have challenged him to go downtown with me personally and just check it out for ourselves. He never responds to that. He just totally ignores that. Just as Brian ignored the challenge to go ahead and debunk, you know, that, and the whole point of what the professor said yesterday on Right to Work, Jeff, was that it was undebunkable. You know, this was all, you know, third party information. It's all been vetted. There you can't debunk something that's factually correct. So I mean, bring it on.
Undebunkable. I like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure that's a word.
No, it's funny, though, that, you know, that they're being ignored, though, on the Facebook page. Like, these people will post stuff.
Yeah, you and I talked about that yesterday.
And they get no reaction. So, I mean, good for our Facebook followers who just, if they don't care, they don't care.
You know, it's better to ignore these folks because all they're really looking to do is get a rise out of you, and then they're going to walk away from the conversation anyway. So you're better off just ignoring it. I will say that yesterday, and if I can find it real quick here, and I did, what do you know? The Mackinac Center, which we mentioned during the conversation on Right to Work for Less yesterday, has released a poll, some polling that was done by the Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch brothers-funded PAC. And they said that they put out a poll that said Americans for Prosperity poll finds intense opposition to Detroit-Canada Bridge, strong support for Right to Work. Here's the problem. In their polling methodology, they never mentioned the words Right to Work. So they do a polling on Right to Work, but don't mention Right to Work. So how can people be strongly supporting something that they don't even know what they're supporting? That makes no sense.
That's debunkable.
Americans for Prosperity wanted to take the pulse of Michigan voters on some of the core issues we're focusing our efforts on during the remainder of the legislative session this year. Sure you did. On Right to Work, 71% of respondents supported giving Michigan workers, including teachers, the right not to be forced to join a union. No less than 54% of those three political parties or ideologies rejected the idea of compulsory unionization. We don't have compulsory unionization in this country, in this state. You know, that's the insanity of this. That's the way they go after it. And the reality is, by law, as Professor Lafer said yesterday, Jeff, by law, you're not forced to join a union anyway. No one's forced to join the union.
Ah, but if you bring up the discussion saying, hey, we want a law that says you're not forced to, then people will actually think that you are forced to.
Well, you know, we just, again, this is all, well, maybe the theme today is about language and framing things in the proper
right.
way. Anyway,
we should come up with a law that says you can't punch liberals in the face. And people will think, well, wait a minute, all these liberals are getting punched in the face?
And that's exactly what happens. That's you hit it on the head. Absolutely. A quick break here. When we come back, we'll, again, virtually travel to Walled Lake Western High School. We'll play some audio from a WXYZ Channel 7 piece that frames it, but it's not about what's happening there for me. I mean, it is, but it's not. It's about the bigger issue of hazing. We'll do that on the other side of this. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. And since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trubiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony.
Tony Truppiano. And First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
All right, let's just quickly go to this Channel 7 piece on what's happening at Wall Lake Western, and then I'll comment on the other side of the audio.
And I'm told that two players have been suspended and two assistant coaches fired in this awful incident of hazing. A source says that this boy, again, had his mouth duct taped so he couldn't yell for help. He was tied to a telephone pole and repeatedly hit.
I just heard somebody got tied up to a pole or a tree or something like that.
The coaching staff at Wild Lake Western High says their football program is strongly rooted in the team concept principle, adding that not every athlete can measure up to the standards. But now, after a reported incident of hazing, several football players have reportedly been suspended and two assistant coaches fired.
I think that's terrible that happens to a student. I don't know why somebody would put somebody on the flagpole. I think that's just mean.
Today, before football practice, students talked about what they heard, but no one from the district will release details of the reported hazing. All a spokesperson will say is that Walled Lake Schools does not discuss the discipline of either students or staff. Therefore, since this situation includes both, we cannot talk about the unfortunate situation, the individuals involved, or the consequences being served.
Did the school say anything like, hey, there's zero tolerance for this kind of stuff? What did they say to you guys?
That's all they said, zero tolerance. Yeah.
The Warriors recently sported pink jerseys in support of breast cancer awareness, and as they approach playoffs, it's unclear if the five players reportedly suspended over the incident will join the rest of the team on the field.
Surprised that this would happen?
Yeah,
again?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. He just doesn't seem like the kind of kid that gets picked on or anything like that.
And it's unclear the extent of the physical injuries that the boy suffered. We do know from talking to one of the students here that he was in school today, and this happened on Thursday. Reporting live in Commerce, Kimberly Craig, 7 Action News. Diana, back to you.
Kim, has the boy's family filed a lawsuit?
It's unclear right now. I know they did retain attorney Todd Flood, who has handled other incidents of hazing right now. At this point, we understand that he's just in the investigation point right now.
All right, and so that's what happened at Wall Lake Western, or the best we know. We don't have a lot of the details, but, you know, for me, this actually speaks to an entirely important the segment of a maturation, of development, a rite of passage, if you will. This idea of hazing, whether it's at the collegiate level, we often hear stories of fraternity or sorority hazing. Sports teams, it's not uncommon. At all levels of sports, at the professional level, at the amateur level, at the high school level, I'm sure at the junior high level for that matter, we hear of these incidences of hazing. Some of them are done in fun. Some of them, and I think that they all consider it funny, but anything that endangers your personal body or your emotional being, to me, is inappropriate and uncalled for, and it does absolutely nothing to bond people together. Now, I know that there are going to be people that are going to disagree with me, and I'm the guy that just got done saying we've got to start being so sensitive. But there is a huge difference. There is a huge difference between perhaps using the wrong word or labeling something improperly than to place somebody in harm's way. And we don't know, we do not individually know when we apply either physical or emotional pressure on another human being, how they will filter that, how they will deal with that, do we? No, we don't. And this idea that I went through it, therefore, and I survived it, therefore it's okay, doesn't fly with me. Now, just to give you some quick background, back in the early 80s, I was in college, got very involved in the hunt to become part of a fraternity. I was involved in an incident where there was hazing being perpetrated upon a young man. And I'm not going to get into the particulars of that, but it was so distasteful and so wrong to me that this idea that you had to be put through that situation just to become something rubbed me the wrong way. Myself, along with six other men, ended up founding a fraternity in response, 99% of it was in response to the hazing that was going on during pledging on campus. And so when people say it's harmless, It's not harmless. It's not harmless. Again, you don't know how that individual is going to react. Now, some people that are hazed take it with a grain of salt. That's no big deal. It's what you got to go through. You do it, you move on. Yeah, I got embarrassed, or maybe I was harmed physically, but no big deal. You know, the bruises heal, we move on. But not everybody feels that way. And I would suggest most don't. In fact, I would suggest even further that even those that say that it's not a big deal, at some level it was a big deal. And they suppress it and they hide it. And you should never have to suppress how you really feel. And this transition from not being to being, not belonging to belonging, is difficult enough as it is emotionally, without placing upon that individual unnecessary and burdensome tactics in order to somehow, you know, enjoy this rite of passage. And I feel very, very strongly about this. And I think that there is no place in hazing in society at all. There are ways to be inclusive. There are ways to bridge that gap between not belonging and belonging, that rite of passage that I keep on referencing. There are ways to do it that are actually strong and hearty and wonderful. And you miss an opportunity when you force physical or emotional pain on somebody. And what's that all about anyway? What do you get out of it? As the giver of that pain, what do you get out of it? Well, I had to go through it. I survived it. That's no justification to treat another human being with such utter disrespect. And again, the factor that you need to be mindful of, I mean, very, very mindful of, is how it's being received. And because you cannot know with great certainty how it's received, you should never cross that line ever, ever. I don't know what happened at Wall Lake Western. I know that hazing still goes on college campuses all across this great land of ours. I know what happens on football teams and baseball teams and basketball teams. I know that there are certain things that are required of somebody. And there's a big difference, by the way, between making the freshmen carry the tackle dummies off the field than making those freshmen a tackle dummy themselves. Perhaps you have to, quote-unquote, earn your way into something. But is the best way to do that to place somebody else in danger, either physically or emotionally? And if you think I'm overreacting, all it takes is one person, to remind us how fragile life is. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headlines, and Bobby Walton on the other side. The recall of Senator Paul Scott. Are you ready? Are you ready for First Shift? We're ready for you. Thanks for punching in. We'll take the break and be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, it is getting busier in spots. The Southfield Freeway, as you're coming off of 94 heading northbound on M39 and southbound near Michigan Avenue, we're seeing some heavy and slow go through there. M10 the Lodge or Northwestern, depending on what stretch you're on, we've got some heavy and slow going already for those coming southbound off of 696 towards Southfield Freeway. And as you're heading northbound on M10 coming past the Davison, you're seeing some slowdowns.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Forecast from the National Weather Service, there's a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 55. Right now it's overcast and 53 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, a tense standoff between Occupy Wall Street protesters and police in Oakland, California. CNN's Dan Simon says the demonstrators were driven out of their protest space, but then tried to return.
They unleashed tear gas. It was just a scene of pandemonium for about an hour. Things seemed to calm down, and then yet again, more protesters clashing with police overnight.
There were also a number of arrests in Atlanta. Parents are having to dig even deeper to send their kids to college. The College Board estimates the average cost rose more than 5% this fall to over $21,000. President Obama will be in Denver today to talk about new measures to help college grads climb out of student loan debt. CNN's Christine Romans tells us how it works.
It would reduce the repayment amount that people have. And what that means is that after you graduate from school, you won't pay more than 10% of your income to your student loans, and they'd be forgiven after 20 years. That accelerates the loan forgiveness rate by about 5 years.
The focus is turning toward Libya's future now that Muammar Gaddafi is gone. The Islamic Sharia law is expected to play some role in forming the country's new constitution. Robin Wright with the U.S. Institute for Peace says the new laws might not be so strict.
Islam is clearly going to play a much stronger role across the region, whether it's in Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and beyond. But that doesn't necessarily mean there are going to be rigid Islamic regimes.
Rina is nearly a major hurricane. John Cangelosi at the National Hurricane Center says the storm is heading toward Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula and popular resort destinations like Cancun and Cozumel.
With the warnings up, we assume preparations are being done, and those that shouldn't be there or don't have to be there are evacuating.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
To show how easy it is to prepare for cold and flu season at Walmart, I stocked up. For just $1.97, I bought a box of new Kleenex Cool Touch tissues to soothe my sore nose. I've got some Abreva cold sore treatment. I'm taking a Halls Advanced Vapor Action Cherry Cough Drop. I just washed my hands with Lysol Healthy Touch antibacterial soap, and I'm wearing Breathe Right Advanced Nasal Strips on my nose for later. In fact, I'm so prepared, I'm going to be really disappointed if I don't get sick. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Uses direct to keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
You could win big with Wolverine's Backyard Bonanza Sweepstakes. I'm Jason Cameron, licensed contractor and TV host. If you're like me, you love being outdoors. Now is your chance to win the ultimate backyard. I'm talking about a stainless gas grill, fire pit, furniture, the works. Enter for a chance to win now at Wolverine.com. The Wolverine Backyard Bonanza.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents in the 50 United States and D.C. 18 or older with a valid email address. Visit Wolverine.com by November 30, 2011 for official rules, price details, and instructions to enter. Void where prohibited.
Time was, Toyota and Honda had no problems packing customers into their showrooms, but with the recent Toyota recall, slowed production in the wake of the earthquake and tsunami, and renewed vigor for U.S. automakers, the number one and two Japanese carmakers in the U.S. are stepping up buyer incentives. TrueCar.com says both have increased cashback deals by about 7% to just under $2,500. 0% financing and cheaper leases also in the mix. The list of store closings over the past couple of years has been long, including Borders, Circuit City, and Linens and Things, and many department store chains have shuttered underperforming locations. So mall operators have been turning to entertainment and other venues to fill vacant stores. The Wall Street Journal says there are aquariums, community theaters, and even go-kart tracks. One former Circuit City store in Texas is now a gun shop and a shooting range. Wall Street sorting through earnings and waiting for the outcome of the Eurozone debt summit, and S&P futures are higher by 8 points, NASDAQ higher by 15. I'm Steve Potus, CatMarketWatch.com.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and 5-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Norman, why is there a bed in my office?
Well, Mr. Fernwell, to catch up on all the work, I figured we should start sleeping here.
Just call Bob from Account Temps.
Okay, but he'll need his own mattress.
We aren't ready to hire full-time, but the staff can't keep working these crazy hours. Why, Bob can handle credit and collections, accounts receivable, whatever we need.
Now I'm confused. Will Bob need a mattress or not?
Not.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers, a Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
When you want an easier way to deal with the hassles of fraud this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you're covered with zero liability protection, which means you won't be held responsible for any unauthorized purchases or ATM transactions if promptly reported. We'll also protect your money by monitoring your account for unusual activity. And you'll be happy to know this built-in protection won't cost you a thing. Call, click, or stop by today to learn more about our zero liability protection. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And that is the question of the day, just after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday First Shift program. Want to direct your attention very quickly to our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. Governor Snyder today will announce new fee structures for how we fund roads and mass transit. Are you willing to pay up to $40 a year more to fund those two projects? It's actually going to be a little bit more involved than that, but that's the basic question. So if you want to mosey on over to the Facebook page, and if you've not been there, just search for First Shift on Facebook. You'll find it easily enough. If you wouldn't mind while you're there, like the page as we're still growing our online presence there. And we'll be talking a little more about that later on. A little bit later on in this hour, by the way, beyond touching base with one of our folks downtown at Grand Circus Park with the Occupy Detroit movement, I have a listener named Michelle who needs your help, especially if you live within the city of Detroit, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit, but I spoke with her yesterday. She has an issue that you folks can actually help her with, and so I want you to stay tuned for that. Let me turn my attention now to the recall of Rep. Paul Scott in Genesee County. We have, of course, anybody who listens to the show knows we've talked about this repeatedly for good reason. He is the only elected representative, the only elected period that made it to the November ballot statewide in spite of all the recall efforts, the only one to successfully get placed on the November ballot. As you all know, as we've talked again repeatedly, there's been an ongoing legal battle over this. It was on, it was off, it's on again. Well, we need to get to the bottom of it. And then on top of that, the folks out in Genesee County need us to just travel just a little bit north to help them out, and we're going to find out why. Joining me now is Bobby Walton. Bobby is with Citizens Against Government Overreach. She has been an activist for good government for 40 years. And believes we must be in the arena, not sitting by as spectators. Another way of saying it's time to stand up, not just show up. She has worked for open, honest, and accountable government in Texas, Maryland, and now Michigan, where we're fortunate enough to have her here spearheading the effort to recall Paul Scott. And we welcome her this morning to First Shift. Bobby, a blessing to have you on the show this morning.
Thanks, Tony. I wanted to tell you there are a lot of other people spearheading with me. I'm not alone.
Oh, I know you're not alone, but certainly you have been a critical component to helping and fighting throughout this entire battle. Bobby, let's just be clear on something as we move forward in this interview. There is a recall. He will be on the ballot November 8th, and people need to know that that is the truth.
Yes, that is the truth. He has tried everything he can to put a stop to this, and the only thing I can assume is he's afraid to face the voters. But the Supreme Court has reversed what the lower court had done with an injunction. We were basically knocked back for about 4 days, but we're back on again. And even though he has gone to the courts again to ask them to reconsider and to put this on the ballot in February instead of November, because of all of the confusion he has caused for the voters.
Right, and we are under no suspicion or belief that the courts will do that, and at this point it doesn't matter. They've not ruled on it. November 8th is the date, even though the governor and the attorney general tried to intervene in this. The courts, and I got to tell you, Bobby, in an extremely unusual and uncommon way, really slapped the Paul campaign, whatever you want to call it, down very heavily. And the courts itself, the appeals court, by saying, folks, you should have never played this game to begin with. Leave it alone. Let democracy rule. Let the Constitution stand pristine. There will be a recall on November 8th.
Yep, that's just about exactly what they said. I read the opinion, and I was delighted and amazed at the way they actually did, chastise the appellate court and told them that they had made two or three really wrong moves on that.
Absolutely. Let's focus on some facts, though. Why do we want to recall Paul Scott? What did he do that the folks in his district find so reprehensible?
Well, actually, he's done a lot of things, but we zeroed in on two that we think affect not only the people in District 51, but everybody else in the state of Michigan. He voted to defund the schools to the tune of about $1 billion. And as I've looked at the facts, it seems that's close to $500 per pupil in funding from the states to the school districts. And he also has supported legislation in the budget that would add some extra taxes on senior citizens and others. The senior citizens' pensions that were formerly not taxed are currently going to be taxed. And the homestead tax exemption has been changed so that it no longer will provide with a lot of tax benefits to people. So those are basically the things that we focused on, although he certainly supported the emergency financial manager. He supported so many other things that are really bad for the people of Michigan.
All right, and we do know that you've had a great partner in the Michigan Education Association, but you need help, and you need help from this audience. So let's just be honest about it. We need bodies, and we could use some contributions as well.
Yes, we could. I'll tell you the truth. The MEA has been very helpful, but it means so much more for us because we're a grassroots organization to have people who live in the community, people who may wish they lived in the community, to help us out. And financially would be great. Volunteers would be wonderful. We're knocking on doors, we're making phone calls, we're reminding people that the election is on, and we mostly want them to recognize that they have a lot to lose if they don't vote.
All right, so if somebody wants to get involved, Bobby Walton, how do they go about doing that? If I live in Southfield and I want to come up to Genesee, where do I go?
Well, we have leased or rented headquarters from the UAW, and they're located at 6153 South Dort Highway. That is just a little bit west of Saginaw. There's an intersection there at Hill, Saginaw, and Dort. They all sort of come together at one point. If you're coming across Hill going west, you make a left, and it's about a block and a half down on the left side of the road.
Is there a phone number that people can call so that, when they before they come up, they'll know who's going to be there, what needs to be done?
Well, they could call me, and I could refer them.
All right. Well, if you don't mind giving out your number, we'll do that.
I don't mind at all because our campaign manager is just swamped over there, and I would prefer to field it for him. They can call me at 810-658-1957.
All right. That's 810-658-1957.
Right.
All right. 810-658-1957. We're going to go ahead and also get this on the Facebook page. For people that may want to travel up there. And if they wanted to make a contribution, do you have a website set up, an Act Blue page, anything like that?
We do have a Facebook page, but it would be best, and of course you can't make contributions on Facebook. I can give a post office box number.
Absolutely. That P.O. Box number is?
It's P.O. Box 799, Grand Blanc, Michigan, 48480. And that is Citizens Against Government Overreach.
Okay, I'm just making notes. Okay, and we got it. So
yeah, I got a call yesterday from a reporter who was amazed when he looked at our campaign finance report how many people had given us contributions of over less than $100.
Well, you know, again, every single dollar helps. If you've got $5, it helps. If you've got $100, of course, it helps. You know, we're not asking people to put themselves in harm's way by making a contribution that would hurt them. But they need to, you know, we all need to understand the importance of this recall.
Right.
And what Paul Scott has done to the education of all of our children, because the decisions he made. And if I recall, he was the chairman of the education committee, was he not?
Yes, he still is, as a matter of fact. And I did note to several people as I was doing my research on the whole question, we spend probably close to $38,000 a year to keep one person in prison. And we spend an average, goes out to the different school districts, of about $7,000 a year per pupil. So when you look at the population of our prison, and about 75% of the people in prison dropped out of school, and about 88% of people who dropped out of school will wind up, by the time they're 25, being incarcerated. So if we want to make good investments, we make it in our schools and try to avoid having to make more investment in prison.
Now, you know, for those people that think, and there are those that think recalls are unnecessary and that they're really meant for fraud or malfeasance. This is malfeasance, by the way, of the highest order. I think if we're talking about a crime against humanity, certainly defunding education to the tune of $1 billion is a crime against humanity. I think it fits neatly, Bobby Walton, into the definition of what we recall an elected for.
I think so, too. I agree. I think if we kept him in office one more year, there would be danger even more to the kids in our schools and to the people who he would have a hold over.
Absolutely. Well, Bobby Walton, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll make sure that we get this information out to everybody that wants it. We'll get it on our Facebook page. And thank you so much. The best of luck. If there's anything we can do to help you, let us know.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking to you this morning.
All right. Bobby Walton again, Citizens Against Government Overreach. And again, folks, we'll get you all that information. A quick break here. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes a problem on eastbound 696 near Orchard Lake. It's from earlier when pumpkins fell off the back of a truck. People started running over them, so a little bit of a slowdown eastbound 696 near Orchard Lake. Drivers are just making their way through it. You're seeing some slow traffic on 94 eastbound coming in from the Dearborn area heading toward Michigan Avenue, trying to get into Detroit near the I-96 interchange.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high 55. Tonight we're going to see some rain, a low near 39. Tomorrow again rain and a high near 48. Right now at Metro Airport, it's overcast and 53 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMV mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMV to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry. Offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of Right to Work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a Right to Work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
What are you doing in the next 15 minutes? You could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. All it takes is a quick visit to geico.com or a quick call to 1-800-947-AUTO.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Tribbiani. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. So let me lay this out for you because I need some help. All you need to do after I give you this information is send me an email. I have a listener, part of the First Shift family. Her name's Michelle, who received last year, 2 months in a row, a water bill that was, I don't know, 40 times to 50 times more than her normal usage. So over the course of November and December of 2010, she receives a water bill that is astronomically high. Now, she's been fighting this water bill. She's repeatedly had technicians out from the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department to troubleshoot this. She just took part in a hearing where she was denied her claim that this was a bogus charge. But it was suggested to her by more than one of the technicians from the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department that she was not alone, that there are others that have had these gigantic spikes in their water bill. Now, there's nothing that I could do to help her. I'm not an ombudsman. I'm not a troubleshooter. I can't bully anybody at Detroit Water and Sewerage, so that didn't do her any good. But that's not what she was looking for. What she was looking for is somebody within the city of Detroit that has had a similar issue where all of a sudden, for no good reason, their water bill spiked astronomically. Now, she sent me a copy of her bill, and on it is a graph. And if you could see it spike in those 2 months, it is, you know, and really you'd have to turn all the water on in the house and let it run nonstop to use this much water. So, if any of you out there have had an issue with your water bill in the city of Detroit, would you please send me an email and I will connect you to Michelle and the two of you can then work out whatever it is you're going to work out. But she needs a little help on this. And again, the one thing I can do is what I'm doing right now, sharing it with you. Now, again, you got to live in the city of Detroit, obviously. But if you've had this problem where suddenly you saw a huge, and I'm talking astronomically gigantic, huge spike over the course of 1 or 2 months on your water bill, she needs to talk to you. She needs some help. Now, she's going to appeal the decision. She went to a hearing, and at the hearing, they denied her claim, saying that, no, you really do owe it. You've not demonstrated that there's no way you could not have used it. She, by the way, lives alone. We're talking about thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gallons of water used when there was no way one person or two people or 10 people, for that matter, could use that much water. Her average water bill, by the way, $40 a month. And in the 2 months that we're talking about, over $750 a month for her water bill. Yeah, over $750 a month. There's no way that this is something she's done. Now, she did admit to me that she had a toilet that was running a little bit, but that's not going to cause that kind of usage. She had a faucet that leaked, but she got that fixed. That's not going to create that kind of usage. I don't want to hear that, oh, but cumulatively over time, yes, I do understand that that's going to use some water, but not thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gallons of water. I've made my point. Tony at thetonyshow.org. If you've had this situation, please let me know, and I will connect you to Michelle, and the two of you can, again, figure it out from there. All right? Let me just update you on some of the stuff that we have talked about from time to time. And one of those, of course, is the contract between the UAW and the Big Three. And it looks like by the end of business today, Chrysler will have ratified their deal with the UAW, bringing all three of the domestic automakers in line by almost every standard and every measure. This is good news for the auto industry. I realize not everybody's happy with the way the contract went, but you have to look at the reality of the economy and the times that we're in. And ultimately, it's a win-win for everybody. You keep your job, you add jobs, there's investment going on. And by the way, the auto companies will be announcing their profit and loss today. They are all projected to be profitable for the first time in many years. At the same time, they all show a profit. That's good news. Keeping in mind that these contracts call for, when the company's healthy and doing well, that will be reflected in bonuses. So, ultimately, it's good news for everybody. But it looks like the Chrysler contract is almost definitively going to pass by the end of the business day today. And that is, of course, very good news for the UAW and for auto workers of the country over, because this is exactly what we need to happen to move forward. As you know, these deals are, I think they're all 4-year contracts. I could be wrong on that, but I think they're all 4-year contracts. And as long as the auto companies continue to be profitable, continue to grow, continue to provide opportunity, that next contract's going to be that much sweeter. I realize you say, but yeah, that's 4 years from now, and I get that, but it goes by pretty fast. And what I love about this contract, above everything else, is that it actually took work that was happening in Mexico and brought it back to the U.S. I love that about this contract. I love that because it proved that it's not just that it's cheaper to do it somewhere else, because it's not always cheaper to do it somewhere else. It's not. And this contract proves that. So I'm just thrilled. I truly am thrilled that they have that provision in these contracts. It's just awesome. It is just awesome. I don't have time to do this one or that one before the break. So let me just remind you, tonight I have another meeting for at the UAW Local 174, the Whatever It Takes group that I meet with on an every other week basis tonight.
Is it Thursdays or when?
Wednesdays. It's on Wednesdays.
What's Thursday? Don't you have something that you do on Thursday nights?
No. I do a lot of speaking on Thursday nights. But
oh, okay. Not like a regular speaking.
No. Wednesday is my every other Wednesday is the Whatever It Takes group.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted not today. I got stuff that I got to do, but I wanted to join you on one of those, maybe.
Well, you know, then 2 weeks from now, we'll be doing another one.
Sounds like, because you come back every day, you know, the next day, and you always speak really highly of going to those events.
Because something happens. I do a lot of meetings. Well, we'll talk about this on the other side. I'll explain this because there's a really good reason why I particularly love this group. And I'll tell you on the other side. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. And last but not least, on Twitter, @TonyTruppiano. Let's take the break. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, and we'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
And good morning again, Tony. Our total traffic update includes things getting a little heavier for drivers on the Reuther as you're heading toward I-75. We're seeing the heavier traffic heading westbound there. Drivers coming eastbound off of 275. You're also seeing some slow traffic, part of that from earlier debris near Orchard Lake. Drivers who are on Southfield Freeway, a little bit heavy and slow near I-94. We've had a few pockets of that throughout the morning.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high 55. Tonight we're going to see some rain, a low near 39. Tomorrow again rain and a high near 48. Right now at Metro Airport it's overcast and 53 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. A new Quinnipiac poll shows the people of Ohio support repeal of the bill gutting public worker collective bargaining by a 25-point margin. To repeal the attack on collective bargaining, Ohio voters must vote no on Issue 2, November 8th. We Are Ohio's Melissa Fazekas says Ohio is poised for a people's veto of the attack on collective bargaining.
We got great news from the Quinnipiac poll showing that we are up 25 points, so everyone's just really excited. We really are remaining focused on talking directly to Ohio voters about why Issue 2 is unfair and unsafe and making sure that they get out to vote. We're in the now tens of thousands of volunteers who every day making phone calls, knocking on doors, talking to their friends and family. It really is a grassroots organization, and it's been so amazing just to watch all of this enthusiasm bubble up, and now just being, 14 days out from the election, everyone's just, on high gear.
Fazekas says politicians in states that attacked collective bargaining for public workers ignored the will of the people. In Ohio, the people's voice will thunder across the state November 8th, and Fazekas says working families nationwide should take heart and continue their fierce defense of basic collective bargaining rights.
We have an opportunity on November 8th to make a very loud, clear statement, and I just encourage everyone across the country that's dealing with these types of issues to stand strong, stand united, and really fight back and let your voices be heard.
Chrysler UAW workers wrapped up their voting on the new tentative labor agreement on Tuesday. The UAW is expected to announce the results today. The Chrysler vote results are expected to be closer than those at Ford and GM. Union officials expect the tentative agreement to be ratified, but there's significant opposition among the Chrysler UAW rank and file. If the contract is rejected, binding arbitration will be used to settle the new Chrysler UAW contract. Two more weeks of NBA games have been canceled because NBA team owners have locked out the players. The NBA Players Association is trying to protect the interests of the players and end the lockout to salvage the NBA season. NBA owners want to keep more of the billions of dollars in revenue generated by the players each year. This newscast made possible in part by the American Federation of Teachers, a union of professionals.
Pacific
Ivica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310WDTW.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. Tony Trupiano, thanks for punching in with us this morning. I really sincerely appreciate each and every one of you that joins us on a daily basis. I enjoy our interaction, whether that's on the air, whether it's through email, throughout the day. You know, many of you listen to the podcast, and so I hear from you throughout the day. You know, I realize that some of you are very busy in the morning, don't have time to email me till you're at work. And it's great. It's fine. It's wonderful. You know, I want to quickly make the comment to so many of you reach out to me and apologize for bothering me. You don't bother me. You don't bother me. My office number's on the website at thetonyshow.org. If I didn't want you calling me, I wouldn't put it out there. I honestly wouldn't. I don't have a problem with you folks calling or emailing or whatever you want to do. It's fine. So thank you so much. Anyway, Jeff, going back to the conversation we were having before the break, you know, I was originally invited out to the UAW 174. They've got a committee called Whatever It Takes. And really what they focus on is fair trade. That's the basis of what they do. But they're involved in other activities. And one of them, by the way, we're going to be protesting the Republican candidates November 9th out at Oakland University. So if anybody wants to join us for that, they just can send me an email and I'll tell them how to get involved with that. We're taking buses. So we're going on buses and taking buses to Oakland U that day, and then we'll be protesting the Republicans that are there, and then we'll be coming back. It's going to be, you know, leave at 5, come back at 8, bada boom, bada bing, said and done. No big deal. The reason that I enjoy this group so much is there's no BS involved. They have an agenda. They follow the agenda. They respect the agenda. They actually have things that they want to talk about. If the meeting lasts 15 minutes, it's because that's all they had to talk about. So they're not wasting anybody's time. And John Zimmick, who is the president out at 174, is just a bare bones. Let's get to it. Everybody has access to the floor. Every idea is seriously considered. There's no vitriol. There's no bitterness between people. It's just a great. I mean, I've done in my lifetime thousands of meetings. This is one of the best I've ever been to. So that's the reason I do it.
I apologize for bothering you with that question. I just wanted to know, you know, what was the, I don't know, just thought I would throw that out there. I'm looking at Toys of the Past Decade for some odd reason. That's what I'm stuck on over here now.
All right. Okay, well, then I'll let you get back to that.
It's weird. I have no idea of what's going on anymore these days. These toys I've never heard of before.
Okay. Well, that's not where I'm at right now, so
I know. I derailed my whole thought process over here.
Just go back to what you're doing.
No.
I'm moving on. I got stuff to talk about. I'm okay. I do want to talk about, and anybody that was reading the Detroit Free or Detroit News yesterday saw the story. The class sizes in the city of Detroit are averaging 42 per class. That's just outrageous. You know, David Hecker, who's the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan, warned last summer on this very program that this was going to happen. He warned that this was going to happen. And so now what happens as a result of that? Well, ask any teacher. You know, for those of you that think teachers have this easy life, and, you know, again, I'm going to repeat all the cliched stuff. They have summers off. You know, they're home at a reasonable hour, blah, blah, blah. Throw all that away, folks. You don't understand. If you think teachers have an easy life, you don't know a teacher. You don't. I swear to God. But it's ridiculous to think you can have 42 children in a classroom and expect that child to have the same opportunities as a classroom that has 24 people in it. Makes sense, right? I mean, there's only one teacher. There's only so much to go around. And, yeah, they lecture. Yes, they stand in front of the room and say, Today's lesson is this, and it's on the board, and you do it. But it's that individual, that one-on-one that's critical. And as a former student myself, I needed that one-on-one time. If I were in a classroom with 42 students, I'm now fighting for that time. And even if she's able to give each student, think about this a minute, even if she's able to give each student time, if she gave each student a minute, or he gave each student a minute, that's 42 minutes in a 50-minute hour. Come on. Are we not clearly seeing what's happening here? Are we not clearly seeing that the Republican, and trust me, this was all designed by the legislative Republicans and this governor. They knew full well that this was going to happen. What do you think happens to the quality of education? How do you think these students test out at this point?
I don't get what's going on. I mean, we had a guest on yesterday that explained it perfectly. If you attack the education in Michigan, people won't come here. Jobs won't come here because they want their kids to have a good education.
I own a corporation. I want to, and I've got learned people on my staff. I have PhDs. I have master's degreed people. I have bachelor's degreed people. And then I have my blue-collar workforce. I'm going to go to a state that has dedicated themselves to fundamentally sound education system, both at K-12 and higher ed. And you're right. If you are severely attacking this part of what is a critical component of that decision to move a company into your state, and you expect there to be growth, think again. Think again. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Mark and Warren joins us. Now, Mark, it's great to have you back on the show again. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic, Tony. Good morning. And, you know, you're hitting the nail right on the head as usual. You know, bringing Roy Roberts in was probably the worst thing the state could have possibly done. It was bad enough having Robert Bob, but Robert Bob did actually address them some things. But, you know, you're talking about an average of 42 kids in a classroom. It's darn near impossible to teach, particularly at the middle school level, elementary level, when these kids are really coming into their own social being. And they go to school, you know, they want to socialize, and we want to obviously push an education process in the classroom. So having that amount of students is ludicrous. But let me also address this. Roy Roberts is much less effective than even Robert Bob was. We're getting back to the old problems of not having paper towel in the classroom.
Wait a minute, I thought that was done and over with. We were told that those days were long gone.
Yeah, well, I'm here to tell you they're not. And I don't want to get into specifics. I don't want to hang people out to dry because I'm more of a problem solver than a finger pointer, but it's not happening. He's not sitting down with the union, as you well have covered, as Mr. Hecker has explained, as Mr. Johnson has explained. It's all punitive. You know, one thing that you're a little earlier, you're talking about the UAW and how they're working with management to try to come to a common goal that helps both sides. Well, in Detroit Public Schools, it's been adversarial for so long. You know, the union comes with fantastic ideas, and management just time and time again pushes them to the side because they came from the union side of things. Whether they're a good idea or a bad idea, it's a bad idea because it comes from the union. And this is what we've run into. Now, you know, we've had some positive news in Detroit Public Schools. Our attendance was better this year. So what are they going to do? Rather than celebrate the successes and look to what created those successes, we're going to break the district into three parts, which is going to do nothing for the kids. It's just simply going to break the union. The biggest teachers union in the state, the biggest local, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, so, and Mark, at so many levels, you know, and you know, maybe one of the things I need to do in the very near future, and there's just so much going on, is dedicate an entire 3 hours to education issues. It's just really hard to do that when there's so much going on. But, you know, one of the realities, if I'm a teacher, you know, I don't care what your job is, Mark. You know, I don't care what it is. If you're a mechanic, if you collect garbage, if you do anything, I don't care. Name a job, office job, doesn't matter. Imagine going to work every day knowing that you're not going to be able to do your best. And teachers know that. Listen, teachers know when they walk into the building every single day that no matter how good they are, they're not going to be able to utilize their skill set.
Absolutely. Or to be appreciated. I mean, we didn't go into this business to be rich. But when you're constantly coming at us, and this, you know, people look at this current state of affairs where, okay, they took 10%. Well, what they fail to realize is 10 years before I actually came into the field, Detroit public teachers, well-deservingly, were approximately third highest paid in the state due to the fact that they wanted to attract teachers to an urban district to bring in, you know, good, high-quality teachers. 10 years ago, that was. Now, we're on the bottom shelf. And what people don't realize is they're like, well, it's only a 10% cut. Well, it's a 10% cut this time. Well, how about the time before that? And the time before that, we've been unilaterally working actually with management to concede these things for the benefit of the kids. Well, now we finally said enough. And so what are they going to do? You know, taking all that wasn't enough. Well, okay, now we're going to break up the whole darn thing.
Right. Well,
because unions are no good. They're the evil of America, the scourge of America.
Well, you know, and again, this just goes back to something that to me is fundamental as a parent. Because as a parent, I'm a voter. Well, I should be a voter because not everybody's registered. But as a parent, there is one thing I can control, and that's who serves on my school board. And that's what happens in my school system. If you're involved, whether it's the PTO or the PTA, whether it's, well, being active, getting millages passed. Mark, as parents, we need to do more to support. If you can't do it for your damn kids, do it for the damn teachers. All right?
Absolutely.
But you got to do something.
I'd be more than happy to, there's some things I can't share, but I'd be more than happy to share some of the, in my book, atrocities that are going on.
All right, Mark, send me an email. We got to get to the break. Send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. We just got to get to the break. We'll be back. Occupy Detroit on the other side of this. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Lindsay Blackwell. What gave you the idea to put together this website and start your own social media marketing campaign?
Well, it was a number of things. I'd heard various stories about other folks who'd done sort of these extreme job hunting efforts, and I knew that I had the ability and the knowledge of social media as a marketing tool to make something viral. And the website kind of was just something I came up with. I wanted to make a cover letter that was more than a cover letter. I wanted it to be something interactive, something that would not only impress Lisa, but would invite others in my social circle, and ultimately I hope around the world to kind of invest in me.
All right, now the website, for those that want to go look at it, and I'll give that out in a second, we'll also post it to the Facebook page, is www.dearlisarudgers, that's RUDGERS.
.com. First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote.
We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. A pleasure to be with you. Another great morning. I love the fall. Love this time of year. If you're an occupier, maybe not so much. But the purpose, the mission of Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Santa Fe and Occupy Seattle and Oakland. By the way, we're having some real issues with some of the occupation movements throughout the country. The police aren't nearly as understanding in some cities as they have been in Detroit, I'm happy to say. But with that said, we are in solidarity with all these other cities. And so it is very troublesome to see, especially what happened overnight in Oakland, can't be allowed to happen. We do not live in a dictatorial state. We have a First Amendment right to do what we're doing. And I assure you, as I've been watching what's happened in Oakland and did a little research on this before I even came in this morning, those folks did not deserve the treatment, the brutal treatment that they got. This is wrong. But we're going to focus on some positive stuff. I've also got a list of stuff that we're going to put together for our friends at Occupy Detroit today. And let me welcome our latest guest from Grand Circus Park, Al Williams, to First Shift. And, Al, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Hey, how are you, Mr. Trupiano?
No, you call me Tony. None of this Mr. stuff.
Hey, Tony. I love the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, first of all, Al, give me a little bit about your background. What's your personal story and why you're there?
I'm occupying because I understand the importance of speaking for the 99%. I understand the importance of the 99% standing up. You know, when I was 13 years old, my personal story goes back to when I was a kid. I was 13 years old. My mother was the head administrator at Lafayette Clinic when the government shut down mental health facilities all across the state of Michigan and put those mentally ill children out into the streets. I'm sorry to say, but those children are still roaming the streets today and filling our penitentiaries today. I occupy because I believe my child needs a better education and we need to put more money into our education system. I occupy because I believe the leaders in Washington, the leaders on Wall Street, and the leaders in our own state need to listen to the 99%, and our story needs to be told and our lives need to be better.
Well, I couldn't agree with that more, Al. You know, let me remind people that don't remember, you had started off your story by what happened with mental health. Governor John Engler, unceremoniously back in the 1980s, decided that we just didn't need mental health services in the state of Michigan. He saw that we could save millions of dollars by just cutting people loose. And, Al, as you know, that's exactly what he did. One day, these folks were being cared for, were being honored, were being treated humanely. The next day, they were told to leave and never come back. And it really did happen just like that.
Yeah, and actually, Lafayette Clinic was a staple, not only in the community, but a mental health facility that people, that other mental health facilities around the country looked at as a model. And he closed it. The staff and specialists were surprised. The children were crying. I mean, it was a mass hysteria that day, and I'll never forget it. That was the day I got involved. And so that's one of the reasons why I occupy, because I believe today it's getting worse than it was at that point. So,
yeah, if you can imagine. You know, Al, and I'm glad that you brought this up, because I know one of the really great things that has happened at the Occupy Detroit site is that you've had a lot of people that are mentally challenged, that are homeless, find some hope in the Occupy movement. They've found some kinship with people, and I believe, I mean, really one of the greatest parts of this story, just not even 2 weeks into the Occupy Detroit movement, is there's been, you know, this brotherhood that's been built between, you know, the homeless community and the 99%.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's a testament to that we're all the 99%, and we all have love for individuals, people, and those who either can't speak for themselves or need help speaking for themselves. And we need to stand up for the little guys. You know, for me, it's David versus Goliath, and the 99% is David, and we need to, and Occupy Detroit is like the slingshot and the rock, and we need to make sure that we continue to fight as hard as we can.
And we will. Are you actually staying down there, either full-time, part-time, a night here or there, or you coming in every day or a couple days a week? What is your participation?
Part-time, and then I also supply, I'm also partnering up and organizing and supplying supplies as well. I'm not there full-time. I do have a family that can't stay there. So, yeah, I'm there part-time and helping out with the wish list of things that they need.
Well, that's good, and we're gonna let's talk a little bit about the wish list right now. If you don't have one, I do.
Absolutely. There's plenty of things that we need. Of course, we need more shelving units, plastic storage tubs, many, many blankets, tarps, more tents, you know, large tents so we can store, you know, more of the supplies, propane. We need hats, mittens, because it's getting cold. Any extra coats that anybody might have for those who might not have a job and can afford to buy a winter coat coming up. Firewood for, you know, the fires that we're burning to keep people warm. Sleeping bags for those who might not be able to afford them. High-speed printers for the organizers. We need ropes as well. And if you have any coffee, hot chocolate, bring it on down. Anything really that you know will help warm the hearts of the people who are standing up every day, occupying Detroit, will be much needed along this fight, because we're here for the long run.
Absolutely. Let me also remind people that they can make cash donations, and I want to explain this one more time, Al. They would prefer not that you not bring money down to them. They don't want to carry the money. They don't want to hold the money. If you go to Occupy-Detroit.com, Occupy-Detroit.com, there's a donate button at the very top, and you'll see it. It just says donate. Click on that, and you can donate right there. It makes complete sense. They don't want to be carrying money around, folks, because some of you actually got angry about that, and that's ridiculous. All right?
Absolutely.
Just donate on the website, and that way it's clean, it's set, it's done, and over the, and they can use money. The propane, bring full propane tanks. The computer printers, make sure you bring cartridges. Folks, we're building a movement, and it's going to take time, and as long as everybody commits like Al is right today, and what he said, if everybody just commit to doing, just how about this, 1 hour a week. Give me 1 hour a week, and I promise we'll change the country. Al, thank you for your time.
Oh, no problem, man, and great show. I love the First Shift. Keep doing what you're doing, Joe.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take a break. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. Steven Henderson from the Free Press on the other side. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes slow-going southbound I-75 trying to come past 14 Mile Road, heading down toward 9 Mile and getting past the Ruther first. Part of the big backup is not only the normal stuff, but an earlier accident that had been working near 9 Mile. Drivers on 275 and 96 who are trying to connect onto the Ruther, we've seen very slow traffic because of a much earlier pumpkin spill on 696 eastbound near Orchard Lake, and as they've been run over, it's made quite a mess.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high 55. Tonight we're going to see some rain, a low near 39. Tomorrow again rain and a high near 48. Right now at Metro Airport it's overcast and 53 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, police fired tear gas at a crowd of Occupy Wall Street protesters in Oakland, California. Police say the demonstrators threw paint and other objects at officers. CNN's Dan Simon reports several people were arrested.
Anger on both sides. Police had one of these protesters to disband several days ago, but they were there, and so they came up with this plan to send police to disband them. They thought that they had basically, you know, put an end to it, but these protesters very determined, and you saw what unfolded last night.
Protesters were also arrested in Atlanta. One of them says he was scared and says it hurts to see this happen to people who want change in America. President Obama will announce today relief is coming for people with big debt from student loans. CNN's Brianna Keeler says the president will wrap up his Western trip with a stop in Denver.
The theme of the president's push here is we can't wait. The idea is that Congress is stymied. They aren't able to do things to help the economy. And so there's no doubt a political message here that he's stepping in. He's taking executive authority and he's doing what he says Congress cannot do.
European Union leaders are hoping to come up with a plan to address Europe's debt crisis at a meeting today. Ian Bremmer of Eurasia Group explains why Americans should be worried about possible European banking crisis.
There are a lot of banks out there right now, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, that are trading down, and they're trading down because they've got a lot of exposure to European banks.
European leaders have promised to come up with an ambitious solution to the crisis. Ford turned a profit of $1.6 billion in the third quarter. It was the ninth straight profitable quarter for America's number two automaker. However, Ford did not announce the return of its dividend that investors were hoping for. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The third quarter earnings flood is again washing over Wall Street this morning. Boeing's quarterly profit jumped 31%, and it's raising its outlook for the entire year. Ford saw earnings fall on higher costs despite a solid rise in revenue. And despite those upbeat sales, the company says it won't consider a dividend payout just yet. Meanwhile, Sprint says it is seeing dividends thanks to the iPhone. Now that it sells the Apple device, Sprint's quarterly loss has narrowed. And Wall Street's responding. S&P futures are higher by 7 points. NASDAQ ahead by almost 13. There are signs of hope that Wall Street may recover some of the ground lost in yesterday's market downdraft. And part of that, traders are waiting for news out of Europe ahead of the Eurozone debt summit later today. And if you've been thinking about a new Toyota or Honda, now may be the time. Both Japanese car makers are trying to regain U.S. market share with some of the biggest sales incentives in their respective histories. According to USA Today, the incentives cover everything from 0% financing to cash rebates. I'm Steve Potus at MarketWatch.com.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and 5-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com. Oh, give me freedom.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy 4 select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
And welcome back. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Just got the greatest email during the break. Someone says, hey, I've got a ton of firewood. You know, we're listening to the Occupy Detroit segment. Why, you know, somebody needs to come pick it up, but I'd love to donate it. This is what I love about this. You know, Jeff, since we began doing this on Monday, we've had a plumber out there. We've had people drop off food, electrical supplies, shelving, and I could go on and on and on. This audience has been so responsive to the Occupy movement. It makes me feel so good about what we're doing. I'm just so impressed.
I like the reach that we
have. Yeah.
I guess not the reach that we have, but the fact that people are
wanting to get involved. The responsiveness has been extraordinary. And this just goes back to the simple idea that, you know, we've talked about since the beginning of the Occupy Detroit movement. It's not about spending the night there. That's not what this was ever about. It's about, you know, identifying that the movement's necessary, you know, recognizing that you're one of the 99%, and then getting involved at whatever level you're comfortable with. And that's what I love about this. Anyway, we'll come back to that a little bit later on in this hour. We'll have time for some open lines. But, of course, we set this time aside every week for Stephen Henderson. So let's go ahead and get started.
Joining us now, editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And he does join us now as we enjoyed these Wednesday chats a great deal. Well, Stephen, a pleasure to have you on the show today. The governor going to deliver another one of his special messages. And I don't know, there's something about that special message label that it's like fingers on the chalkboard for me. And I don't know why. I know that's very immature. It really is. But it really bothers me for some reason. I really can't identify why.
Well, I actually sort of like it. I mean, it has helped in the first year of Snyder's administration, identify what the governor's agenda is about for, you know, for a certain period of time. And, I think it helps everybody. It helps everybody, and especially the legislature, which can be distractible. I think it helps them. It helps them focus. You know, it's like, all right, this is what we're doing now, and I don't really want to talk about anything else because this is what I want to do. And so far, he's had pretty good luck with it. I mean, he's gotten them to to focus each time on the area that he wanted. He usually has bills ready when he makes these announcements. You know, they come within a few days or a week, and then you know, the legislature can do its work.
Well, and indeed today he will be at Lawrence Tech to talk about transit and lots of different ways. This is not just about an idea. It's not just about high-speed rail. This is really a multi-layered message, Stephen.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think this is where we start to, as, you know, I think a lot of people who are not Republicans have so far not been really thrilled with anything this governor has had on his agenda so far. I think now we start to get to some of the things that that make more sense to more liberal people. You know, I think this is a governor who values infrastructure in a way that most Republicans don't anymore, and understands that, you know, number one, they're economic development tools, but number two, that they cost money, that you can't maintain infrastructure without money, and that means taxes of some sort. And so I think you'll hear a governor this afternoon who's saying this is worth doing, and this is worth paying for, which I think is a very important message right now, because there are so many people on the right side of the aisle who are essentially saying nothing in government is worth paying for, and we don't want to have any taxes, or we don't ever want to raise taxes. So it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is from his own party again to what he proposes.
All right, Stephen Anderson, we do a poll question on Facebook every day, and today's is on this very issue, on infrastructure, on transit, and, you know, and I asked the question, are you willing to pay a little bit more to get something? The responses are yes, no, or this is just going to be more conversation. I'll ask you to answer that poll. Is this a yes or a no, or is it going to just be more conversation? Because it's not like this is a new conversation, Stephen.
It's not. I mean, we've been having it for 30 years, and I think the governor's approach is to say, well, for 30 years we haven't come up with anything, really. I mean, the most we've done is SMART, which at least in theory is a regional system in the sense that it goes to more than one city and comes into Detroit. But of course it's all managed and paid for outside of the city. I think what the governor's saying is, rather than focus on that conversation and trying to break the logjam there, I'm just gonna go do my own thing. I'm just gonna create a whole new thing that doesn't have the baggage of this other conversation. It's going to be structured in a way that makes sense, not just for people in the city, but also for people in the suburbs. And we'll move forward, and whatever happens to that old conversation happens to it. I mean, it's sort of classic third way kind of politics. So I think, you know, it is going to be something that moves us forward. I don't think it erases completely the obligations of dealing with what we have. I mean, DDOT has tons of debt that it's carrying that somebody's got to pay. Even if you got rid of it, the city would still be on the hook for that. And SMART has got to be resolved in some way as well. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you're going to have feeder routes into this new system, and so something's going to have to be done with those others. But I think it makes a lot of sense to say, let's start the conversation over, reset it at zero, and go forward from there.
Okay. Well, again, it's a great conversation to have, but it needs to be more than just a conversation.
You know,
Well, Stephen, let me remind the audience that Detroit is the only major city in the entire country that doesn't have a mass transit program in the way that other cities do. The only city, the only one.
This is the only city I ever go to where I can't get off a plane at the airport and catch a train to come downtown. You know, and that's just the beginning of it, right? You know, it's also a place where I can't really reliably get a bus anywhere in the city. So it's a huge problem. And, you know, it's almost impossible to come up with a city that you think of as healthy and thriving that doesn't have mass transit, both in the city and in the suburbs. In Baltimore, where I lived for a very long time, we're building a subway extension this year in Baltimore. I mean, it's sort of unheard of. A giant, you know, miles and miles and miles long subway they're digging a ditch for in Baltimore. I mean, there are other regions that are doing things that would blow people's minds around here to foster transit. And we just have been in the dark ages about it. And it's really about our inability to get along with each other regionally. I mean, we just can't put aside our own self-interest to say, this is something that helps everybody, and we got to pay for it together, and we got to manage it together.
What do you do with the argument, and it's a very simplistic argument, and it's been around forever. I'm sure you've heard it. Well, the reason that we've never really focused on mass transit is we're the Motor City. We build cars. People buy cars, Stephen Anderson. We don't build buses. We build cars. People can get around in a car.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that explains an awful lot about how this region looks, too, with, you know, five major freeways cutting through the middle of the city, which you wouldn't find in most other cities either. And I think there's something to that. I mean, it's somewhat simplistic. There are other reasons that confounded transit as well. But historically, at least, the auto industry was a big reason that we didn't have decent mass transit, although, you know, I always point out that if you go back just to the 60s, we had a decent streetcar system, at least, in Detroit, even though it is the Motor City, and that existed for a very long time and was able to get people around, and that gets to, again, just the problem in a modern context is one of disinvestment. We just aren't willing to pay for it. Our gas tax is too low. There is no real dedicated source of funding to transit that they can control. You know, they can't levy their own millages or taxes, and so it has become this sort of rotting, aging infrastructure, and that doesn't have anything to do with the auto industry. That has to do with us and our sort of inability to plan and manage regionally.
Well, you know, and then let's talk briefly, very briefly, about the People Mover. I read a story yesterday in the Free Press that we brought to air yesterday. You know, the People Mover may have to close.
Well, there's no money for it. The city council cut the budget, and so they'll be out of money sometime in December. And, you know, again, it's like when you have all these different systems that operate off of different funding sources, none of them is adequate. Nothing is going to work. So, you know, that's where we are.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Stephen Henderson, again, my guest, a little bit more on this topic. Then we're going to look at Republican presidential tax plans. What are they? Does it matter? Could they even get them passed is the question. Stephen Anderson has some thoughts on that. Please stay with us. This is First Shift. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after we take this break.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes delays on 696 as you're coming off of 94. Part of that because of an accident working near Van Dyke, trying to move off to the shoulder, slowing down your ride, though, out to 75. 75 South, 14 Mile Road, the Reuther, 9 Mile, Davison, all the way into downtown. 75 South is backed up. I-94 West, as you come past the Reuther, 8 Mile Vernier, slow through there, but then we are riding the brakes all the way in toward downtown, trying to get to 75 and M10.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 55. Tonight we are going to see some rain, a low near 39. Tomorrow, look for more showers and a high near 48. Last check at Metro Airport, overcast skies, and we're at 55 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract?
Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
When you're looking for an easier way to stick to your budget this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you can set up account alerts to help you stay on track. Alerts can be sent to your phone or email, so you'll know the moment you've reached the limits you set. And setting up account alerts is easy. Take comfort knowing you have the tools to stay on budget. Call, click, or stop by to learn more about account alerts. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Recently on First Shift,
David Hecker, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan,
about the American Jobs Act. The Republicans will stand up and vote no, but what I'd love them to stand up and say is I vote no because I think there should be 54 kids in a kindergarten class. I vote no because I don't care that the response time of police officers and firefighters have skyrocketed because of layoffs, because that is the only reason someone would have to vote no is that they just don't care.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, Stephen Henderson, again, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, is with us. Also, the host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS. Stephen, very quickly, we'll wrap up our conversation. I want the transit, the mass transit conversation, to be more than just a conversation. You know, this will require something of the voters. They'll have to go to the polls and say yes or no to doing this. I think if presented properly, this may be one of the rare issues that we might be all able to transcend and agree on.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you know, people are aware of increasingly of the problems that we have with transit. I mean, in the city, it's an acute awareness right now because you know, if you go anywhere in the city and along a major bus route, you just see big packs of people sitting at the stops waiting because you know, there aren't enough buses right now because the mechanics and the city can't figure out how to resolve their dispute. In the suburbs, really soon, SMART is going to be sort of the same way, where there's fewer buses, there are fewer routes. So I think people are starting to sort of wake up to the idea that we're not doing enough and we're not doing this the right way. And if somebody puts a reasonable proposal on the table and comes up with a way to pay for it, they might go for it. But of course, you know, we live in a time when you know, the anti-tax culture is pretty overwhelming, and so that's really the hurdle you got to overcome. You've got to get people past the idea that they don't want to pay taxes for anything. You got to get them to the idea that, look, taxes pay for services, and this is a service that stinks right now. We can make it better if we fund it better.
Well, I'll take the segue. Taxes, good. Well, let's go there. We've seen Romney's program. We've seen Herman Cain's program. Rick Perry, of course, now out with the 20% flat tax. But his program, of course, comes with options. You can decide to stay in the old system or go to the new system. Obviously, that doesn't work. You know, the part of the conversation that we always conveniently forget, us talking heads, is that we need a tax plan that will actually pass Congress.
Well, that's true. That's a great point. And who knows what that would look like, right? I mean, you know, as long as you've got the split that you do in Congress, it seems like there's almost nothing you could come up with that either side would say, okay, well, you know, I can sacrifice some of what I want to get this done. You know, one of the interesting things about all the Republican tax plans is the extent to which all of them sort of miss the point and sort of dodge the major tax issue, which is that we spend more money than we take in. And so a tax reform plan that lowers taxes for people, for most people, is only making that problem, worse. That's not really tax reform. What we need to do is figure out a way to reform the tax code in a way that funds the things that we think are important. You know, Medicare and Social Security, yeah, there are things that we can do to lower the costs in those areas, but they still are going to be very expensive programs, and they're very worthy programs that mark the sort of humanity of our society. And so it's very odd to me that you have these sort of giveaways. These are almost like giveaways that the candidates are coming up with, and everyone's coming up with a bigger giveaway than the last person so they get more attention. You know, a 20% flat tax would send the deficit out of control, both in the short term and the long term, as would a 999 plan. These aren't real ideas in the sense of tax reform. What they are is pandering to people who believe they just pay too much tax and want to pay less.
Well, but inherent is the problem, because we need to have a real discussion about taxes. We know we spend more than we bring in. We all know that. We all know that we need to do this in a more responsible manner. We also know that we find ourselves economically in a very difficult situation, and that there are certain social safety nets that protect those that have the least. It just seems that we're so willing to throw those people to the curb, and especially if we take it at the state level, what we've done with welfare reform, you know, timing is critical. You know, we were talking earlier in the show today, and you understand this, Stephen, intimately better than most people, the magic of words, how we label things. Well, sure. You know, when you take that one step further and you talk about the timing, I can call it anything you want. At the end of the day, when it affects massive amounts of people, as this economy has, you have to also, you have a responsibility to that human component that right. Politics doesn't belong in.
Right, right. And to account for the way we take care of one another in this country. And those are dirty words right now in conservative circles. I mean, there's this idea that the ethos of America is every man for himself, which, you know, is not how I think of this country. I don't think it's how most people think of this country, but it's become very popular, especially during this Republican primary, where you see debates where people cheer the idea of, you know, disconnecting somebody who's sick, who doesn't have money, from life support, where they cheer the idea that people are unemployed because they just won't get up and go get a job. I mean, there is a growing cruelty on that side, and these tax plans that they're proposing feed into that. I mean, they sort of perpetuate the idea that the poor somehow are sucking money out of the pockets of the rich, and that if we could lower the taxes, you know, everybody would be better off. Of course, you know, the fact is we're paying fewer taxes now than we ever have in the history of this country as a proportion. I mean, everyone's taxes are way lower now than they even were 10 or 15 years ago. And we have lots of big problems. We've got big debts. We've got big obligations that need to be funded. There needs to be a more robust conversation. I think that conversation will get more mature during the general election, at least I hope. But for right now, it's really just sort of, it's just pandering.
Well, it is just pandering. I don't know. You know, it just, there are just days where I do these deep breathing exercises and wonder. I mean, I wonder aloud and to nobody in the office, of course, but I actually have to hear myself say it. You know, how can we make a difference? Where can we find a sliver of daylight? When can we move beyond partisanship? I had an interesting, very short conversation with somebody yesterday about, you know, the stalemate politically. And you know, Obama drops the little mortgage plan yesterday. And, you know, even my reality said, God bless you, President Obama. It ain't going to matter.
Right.
You know, and I didn't want to say it, but it's the truth. It's just not going to matter. So, well, Stephen, we're not going to solve any of this today, but I appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to next Wednesday.
Yes, I'll see you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless you. Have a great week. Stephen Henderson, again, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and the host of American Black Journal. We're open lines for the rest of the hour. You've got something on your mind, want to protect a teacher? Call me. Want to help Occupy Detroit? Call me. Need to vent? Call me. Tony, that's right. That's me. 888-552-3595. We'll take the break. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning again, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Heading out on 75 South, slow 14-mile road all the way in toward downtown Detroit. Same thing with 94 West. We're slow almost from the time you leave 696 area. Heading to 8 Mile Vernier into Van Dyke and into 75, that whole route pretty slow. The Ruther itself off of 94, we've had heavy and slow traffic. Part of that from an earlier accident near Van Dyke, slowing down the ride out to 75. Drivers on the Lodge M10, you've seen slowdowns in pockets between the Southfield and trying to get down to the Davison and I-94.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your 6th beverage is free. Start collecting points today. McCafe Rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast includes today some showers and a high near 55. Tomorrow, look for rain all day and a high near 48. Right now, it's overcast and 55 at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shifts with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
1 year from now, Americans will be caught in an unprecedented blizzard of campaign ads. Most of this ad blizzard will not come from the candidates, but from ads secretly funded by huge corporations. This is because a 5-man cabal on the Supreme Court issued an edict that perverts nature itself. In a case titled Citizens United, the 5 decreed that, shazam, lifeless corporate elites are henceforth persons with more electioneering rights than us real-life persons. In a black robe coup against our democracy, the Supremes rule that a corporation's money is speech and that CEOs may dump unlimited sums of it into their own ad campaigns to elect or defeat any candidates they choose. Of course, it's a grotesque, Kafkaesque lie to say that Walmart, Goldman Sachs, ExxonMobil, and the rest are people with political rights equal to, much less superior to, human beings. As a friend of mine puts it, a corporation is not a person until Texas executes one. The good news is that real citizens of our country are united against Citizens United. In a Hart research poll, 87% of Democrats, 82% of Independents, and even 68% of Republicans favor passing a constitutional amendment to overrule the court's bizarre decision and make clear that only people are people. Sadly, Though not surprisingly, our national elected officials, including Republicans, Democrats, and Tea Partiers, are too hooked on corporate money to stand up for us, for America's democracy. So do we just have to surrender to the corporados? Of course not. We're Americans. This is Jim Hightower saying, rebel! A new We the People campaign is rallying grassroots folks to sign a Declaration of Independence from Corporate Power. To sign and join the action, go to wethepeoplecampaign.org. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. We've got another 25 minutes. We're open lines for the balance of the show, getting some great emails from folks, donations to Occupy Detroit. I just think it's so cool that we've been able to participate. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We've got some stuff that I want to get to. In fact, I think I might even be able to clean up everything I've got in the studio. I think I might be able to do that, plus get to announcements. And if I'm really efficient, I might even get to do last word today. But let's go to the phones and welcome Ray in Pontiac to First Shift. Ray, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi,
how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, and you?
I'm well.
You know, I listen to you, and 90% of the time, I truly agree with what you say. But I had something, I had some serious concerns about calling the children or the, in Detroit, damn children. It's not for the, you know, the damn children, for the damn teachers. Well, you know, but because I have a couple of grandkids that go there. I don't call them damn. I really don't.
Them, are you saying? Are you saying that?
I really don't. And so I, because I believe that words have power.
Absolutely. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, you know, so that's the thing that I really do. That was one of my main things that I did, I had to confront to.
Well, no, wait, hold on a minute. What did I say that offended you? Because I want to correct it.
Okay, when you said you were talking on that first part of the show, I think about 7:15 or 7 thereafter, about the children and what they're dealing with the 42 people in the classroom.
Right.
And it might have been enthusiastic that you were saying, if you're not going to do it for, you know, do it for the, you know, the damn kids, do it for the damn teachers or something of that nature. I'm saying that.
Okay. No. I didn't say damn. I would never refer, especially children.
Oh, okay.
No, Ray, I would never say that. You need to understand. Okay. Education is sacrosanct to me. I honor teachers and children. I would never use that word in regard to children.
Well, maybe I misunderstood you.
Okay, I hope you did. If I did say it in a moment of passion, I would apologize, Ray. But go ahead.
Okay,
your point.
Well, And the other point is that whatever is done, whether it comes from President Obama or whatever else, if it's going to help someone, even in the mortgage industry, that'll help whoever it is. Maybe it's 2%. Maybe it's 3%. I don't know. But I don't think it's too little. And I think that's one thing that we, as progressives, we want the huge things most of the time. And I understand that because I have been a progressive for 40 years. And I'm in total agreement.
God bless you.
But I know that it takes little time to work this thing, especially since we have allowed, because we didn't vote last year.
You got that right, Ray.
We did nothing.
We
sat at home and we allowed the Tea Party to run rampant, and we sat on our hands. Had Detroit voted, we wouldn't have the nerd as the governor, okay?
Okay. No, listen. It wasn't just Detroit, Ray. It wasn't just Detroit. It was Democrats all over the state of Michigan stayed home.
But had the percentage of people who are registered voters in the city of Detroit had voted, we would have not had this man in office today.
Now the other thing is,
and I'm going to say this, Tony. I'll let you go.
All right.
I worked my hind end off last year to make sure that Gary Peters, had it not been for Oakland, not in Oakland County. But had it not been for the city of Pontiac, Gary Peters would not be in D.C. today.
You got that right.
Because we worked, okay? And so I'm just saying that little things do mean a lot.
Absolutely.
So whatever is done to help an individual or a group of individuals, whether it's their mortgage or with the student loans, help them. Because that's what government is supposed to be about. And that's my confidence.
Well, Ray, thank you. I appreciate that. I assure you, we had just a fundamental misunderstanding. I would never refer to children in the way that you said. And you're right. Words do matter. We've kind of focused on that. It's kind of been the theme today. So I appreciate you calling in and getting clarification on that. We have a tendency. I think that what Ray said, that there's some truth to what Ray said with regard to even small victories are victories, and I don't disagree with that. Fundamentally, I don't disagree with that. I'd like to see us dealing with those bigger programs that are affecting people, the foreclosure, the student loan debt. It just seems like the bigger something is, the less likely it is to happen. You're right. If we can help 1 million or 2 million families refinance their home, that's not chump change. I'll go with that. I just want to see progress. I'm frustrated, Ray. I think that many of us are frustrated. Let me quickly, I've got a piece of audio I want to play to you. We had, and this is just an odd story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But in Hazel Park, there's a guy running for the mayoral race. And we actually mentioned this about a month or so ago on the show because he got arrested. Well, he finds himself in a little hot water again. His name is Scott Campbell. And you just kind of got to hear it to believe it. Go ahead, guys.
Scott Campbell was brought into court in a wheelchair. The candidate for mayor of Harper Woods is again in legal hot water, this time facing two felony charges of carrying concealed weapons. Police say they found two handguns in his car. Last month, Campbell was charged with disorderly conduct after a fight with a neighbor who was also charged.
I consider this to be a very serious case. And when you combine loaded dangerous weapons with a person who may have mental problems.
Campbell was arrested Monday night outside his girlfriend's house. Police were checking out his van parked illegally when they spotted one of the weapons. Campbell's girlfriend says he's taking medications for severe depression and other mental health issues.
Do we know a diagnosis?
And post-traumatic stress disorder.
Campbell did not have his medications in jail, and the judge wondered about his competence.
It's something that, once again, is blown way out of proportion, and that it's a history of a long continuation of harassment.
Related to his political activity?
Related to his political activity, that is my opinion.
Campbell's girlfriend, who also doubles as his campaign manager, says the arrest will not stop him from continuing his quest to become mayor.
We are going to fight this and retain counsel so that it hopefully the outcome will be to dismiss and it will not affect his candidacy for mayor.
But before returning to the campaign trail, the candidate will undergo an evaluation.
I'm concerned that with the history of mental issues, history of allegations that he would be having dangerous weapons has now come to fruition, and we will refer him for a competency evaluation.
All right, and I'll just let that speak for itself. Listen, if he has mental health issues, I certainly would like to see him get healthy. I always admire people that want to run for public office. I've done it. It's not easy. But you got to be careful how you allow this stuff to bleed over into other parts of your life. Interesting news, and this is really kind of odd. The report out yesterday showing that the House Democrats have outraised the Republicans in the last quarter. Now, what's really unusual about that is rarely does the minority party outraise the majority party. Well, in this case, not only did they outraise them by a significant amount of money. The Democrats raised $190,133 during the last period. House Republicans raised just $121,000. And I assure you, although you may not be familiar with this kind of stuff, that's a significant difference. Now, the Republicans still have more cash on hand. We explained cash on hand on Friday's show, but very briefly, for those of you that weren't listening then, cash on hand is cash that's actually available to use. So there's a big difference between how much you raise and how much you have. Both the Republicans and the Democrats have no debt at this point. But I think that what that number tells us more than anything else is that voters, people that donate to campaigns, are paying attention and are making sure that they're sending in donations as they have it, and that the Democrats are doing so well as the minority party. I think foretells good things, not just about this November 8th, but next November as well. There was also a piece on MLive.com yesterday that caught my interest by Angela Whitrock, and just so happens that the Progress Michigan, which, of course, will be Dave Holtz will be on the show tomorrow, one of their bloggers happens to be a personal friend of mine, a guy by the name of Joshua Pugh, has written a piece that shows how the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ELEC, is responsible for a piece of legislation. Joshua has blogged about it on the Progress Michigan website, so if you want to go check it out, you can. He does a side-by-side comparison of a bill and the model legislation crafted by ELEC, and it's astounding how, shocking, how similar they are. And so it was a very interesting piece, and a chance for me to say hello to my buddy Josh Pugh, who I know from Alma College. Good young man, good solid young man. Had a chance to work with him on a project last year and just know him to be the great guy that he is. I'll remind you, we're open lines, although we're about to go to a break. If you want to get in, you've got a few more minutes to do that. 888-552-3595. And this was a story from the other day that I really just didn't have a chance to get to. And it's, and unfortunately, it's a sad reflection on the reality of what's happening. But the article was titled, Great Recession Leaves Michigan Poor, Census Numbers Shows. And there's no question that in the state of Michigan, and it's clear to most of us, the median income is down, significantly down, over the last 10 years as opposed to the 10 years preceding that, adjusted for inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Among the state's 10 most populous counties, Oakland County saw the largest drop, an inflation adjustment of 16.2%. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a significant drop. I have one more story on the other side. Your calls, announcements, and I might even get last word in today. So we will see. That's the goal. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thank you for punching in with First Shift. Don't go anywhere quite yet. We've got more to get to. Stay with us. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Lindsay Blackwell. What gave you the idea to put together this website and start your own social media marketing campaign?
Well, it was a number of things. I'd heard various stories about other folks who'd done sort of these extreme job hunting efforts, and I knew that I had the ability and the knowledge of social media as a marketing tool to make something viral. And the website kind of was just something I came up with. I wanted to make a cover letter that was more than a cover letter. I wanted it to be something interactive, something that would not only impress Lisa, but would invite others in my social circle, and ultimately I hope around the world to kind of invest in me.
All right, now the website, for those that want to go look at it, and I'll give that out in a second, we'll also post it to the Facebook page, is www.DearLisaRudgers, that's RUDGERS.com.
First Shift with Tony Trivino on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. And tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. We're going to get ready to wrap things up 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't forget Stephanie Miller coming up right after this show, right here on 1310 WDTW. Great lineup throughout the day. My friends Tom Hartman and Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes and Alan Combs. So lots of reasons to hang around 1310 after you're done listening to the show today. Let's go to the phones, and I want to welcome Joe in Detroit to the show. Joe, thanks for punching in this morning. Good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I just wondered if you were going to talk about what's going on in Oakland, California.
Well, I briefly mentioned it when we did our segment at 7:50 today with the Occupy Detroit movement. You know, I said in solidarity, although things are going well here, they're not going well everywhere. And, you know, and we need to, you know, I don't know what we can do to stop it, but it seems to me, Joe, that the police are becoming much more aggressive in certain parts of the country. Do you know what happened to spur what happened in Oakland, California? Because I've not heard what spurred that.
No idea. I just know that I read that tear gas was tossed into a place where children were present.
Oh, and then lots of tear gas, Joe. I mean, it was an atrocious scene. And
I think the more that we talk about this and the more that it comes to light, it's just going to make the movement stronger.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, Joe. Like I said, this is solidarity. This is not just about, it's not just about New York or Santa Fe or New Mexico or Detroit or Oakland. We're all in this together. This is a national movement.
Right.
And I agree. Right, in solidarity, we need to talk about it. I appreciate the phone call. I agree totally. So, yeah, we'll get more information, and we'll get it to you folks tomorrow. That's exactly what we'll do. Let's turn our attention now to Anthony in Detroit. Anthony, welcome to First Shift, and good morning to you.
Good morning. Glad you're there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's on your mind this morning, eh?
I kind of just tuned in, and I heard you mention about the refinancing, the executive order, or the legislative order that Obama putting together.
Absolutely.
Now, as far as the refinance, they go refinance the whole debt where they is negative, where they're underwater.
Yes.
Okay, so the bank's going to get off. From my understanding, what I've heard on different shows and read a little bit about it, I'm trying to get a grasp on it, that the bank's going to be forgiven the negative debt that they actually caused when they knew they were selling bad debt. And they actually, year before last, Congress had a hearing on the bankers selling them bad packages, derivatives to Fannie Mae, and they knew they was bad, and they admitted under oath in Congress that they really knew that the bundles that they sold was bad.
Right, and that's exactly what this program is going to deal with. You know, the caveat, Anthony, and I appreciate your call, is that you have to be current or only have one late payment in a six-month period of time. They're going to remove some of the more heavy fees. And so, you know, it is a positive program. It's obviously not as far-reaching as a foreclosure a revival package. But, you know, I guess one step at a time, as Ray reminded us earlier. We now turn our thoughts to Doris in Flint. Doris, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi,
Tony.
Hi.
I heard you talking about the Oakland, California situation.
Yes, ma'am.
I ended up, I listened to all kinds of news, what I heard and then what I did. I heard that it had to do with police wanted to go through the camp and check things out, whatever that's about, I don't know, and that they didn't want them to do that. But I think that was kind of a setup anyway. But I called the mayor's office to just lodge my concern for the fact that they did this and that many of the people in this 99%, number one, would be the type of people who support what's in Wisconsin against what they're doing with police, firefighters, teachers, nurses, et cetera, and that I didn't think it was appropriate that they should have been going after the people that are actually in other ways fighting for them. But I understand that the mayor issued the order. So the police would have had to, you know, not follow the order. But some have done that. Some of them have not followed those orders.
Right.
But that's what I heard, that they wanted to go through that. And I also heard that they were homeless people that were there, that they had a medical facility, you know, taking care of people.
Yeah, Doris, not like in Detroit where they have medical personnel there and they've had homeless people come to receive medical care and to eat, you know, a good healthy meal.
Right.
You know, that's part of what this movement's about, is taking care of our brother.
Exactly, and it's like the charity. They're always talking about, we're supposed to take care of everybody. Well, you got people actually doing that.
Absolutely. Isn't it wonderful, Doris? Isn't that just a blessing? Absolutely. Thank you for your call. We're going to be following this story. Let me get to some announcements, and I do appreciate it. I love Doris. Very passionate, informed person. I want to remind you that on November 9th, the Republican presidential candidates will be at Oakland University. If you'd like to join me and a whole lot of like-minded people in protesting their visit to Oakland U, send me an email, and I'll send you the information, tony@thetonyshow.org, and be happy to have you go along with us. On Thursday, November 3rd, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Kelly Services Building on 999 West Big Beaver in Troy, the local Sierra Club presents their free monthly speaker series with award-winning author and journalist Lynn Henning. The title of this speech will be The Living Nightmare of Animal Factories in Michigan. Learn what you can to do to help our air, streams, and lakes stay clean. And again, that's on Thursday, November 3rd from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And this is the biggie. This is where I really need you folks to get out there and do something. If you like to protest, and you like to protest Governor Snyder, I got a deal for you. Governor Rick Snyder, again, this is also on Thursday, November 3rd, from 4:30 to 6:30. So go do that, then go to the Sierra Club. From 4:30 to 6:30 at Penna's of Sterling on Van Dyke in Sterling Heights, the governor will be at a fundraiser there. And if you would like to come protest the governor, that's where you need to be. All you need to do is show up at Penna's of Sterling on Van Dyke Avenue in Sterling Heights at 4:30. Folks will be there from 4:30 to 6:30. And this is sponsored by We Are the People. I can assure you, you're going to meet lots of like-minded people. I'm really going to be driving this one home. I really need you folks to get out there and to... We called it when Susan called me yesterday to ask me if I'd mentioned this on the air, that we want to make sure that there's a nice welcome wagon. All right? You can be part of that welcome wagon. Thursday, November 3rd, from 4:30 to 6:30 at Penna's of Sterling on Van Dyke in Sterling Heights. I promise you it will be a lot of fun. I'll be mentioning this a lot over the next couple weeks because I want to make sure we get a big crowd out there. Well, I almost did it. I had one story left. And I didn't get last word in. But more importantly, I got your calls in. I love y'all. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything you do to make this show hum. To this audience that's just amazing. Off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Good morning, Tony. Our last look at the roads includes still plenty of brake lights. Drivers heading southbound 75, trying to just get down to 696, but then it's heavy and slow in pockets all the way in toward the Davison and trying to get toward I-94. Drivers on 94, they've seen heavy traffic trying to get in toward Van Dyke and 75. Drivers coming in 96 east, it's been slow in pockets all morning for those just trying to get in toward the 275 interchange.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 55. Tonight we are going to see some rain, a low near 39. Tomorrow look for more showers and a high near 48. Last check at Metro Airport, overcast skies and we're at 55 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on